James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Good evening, everybody. How are you? Hope you're having a good evening here wherever you are. We certainly are having a beautiful day here at the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches of beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, here in the belly of the beast in Republican land. So I guess we're lucky we have a liberal radio program originating from this area, as conservative as it is. We've talked about that before, but it really is a hardcore, hardcore Republican area. So here we are coming at you with a liberal Democratic talk show. I'm about the only person in America that will tell you right up front, I am a Democrat, I'm liberal, and that's how it is. A lot of things we want to talk about tonight. We got some great guests coming up, I hope. Cindy Sheehan, who is, well, she helped the Gold Star Families to get that going, the Gold Star Families for Peace group. She appeared at the Conyers hearings day before yesterday. And she's going to be with us tonight. And Eric Margulies, a famous, well-known columnist and author, foreign correspondent. Eric works, well, he does his main work at the Toronto Sun newspaper. Going to have him on tonight as well. And we're going to have another guest coming up about 9:10. So we've got a lot of people to talk to tonight. We want to touch on several subjects tonight. We'll get to it sooner or later. Did Bush really win Ohio? That's back in the news. Oh, you Buckeyes. Ho, ho, ho. You got it going on up there right now. Let me tell you. They can talk about Chicago all they want to. But my, oh, my, oh, my, Governor Taft and that little cesspool that that is brewing up in Ohio, it is a mess. Of course, we'll talk about the Schiavo autopsy and the hapless right-wingers' comments upon it. And the John Conyers hearings, will it stick? One scandal after another, but they seem to slide right off old Bushy boy. Is there any connection between the Israeli spy scandal and the Downing Street minutes? We do want to get to that. And what happened to John Kerry on the Downing Street minutes? What happened there? Why haven't we heard from John Kerry? And where are the rest of the Democrats on this? No, not Joe Lieberman. I'm talking actual Democrats. So, you know, that's some things we're going to talk about tonight. Have you noticed that every time some nasty story breaks about Mr. Bush and his administration, that just some big story comes up for them, all of a sudden they think of something else. You know, they find somebody to crucify. Have you noticed that? You know, these Republicans, I did want to report, these Republicans have finally found him. They thought they'd found him in Howard Dean, but now they've really identified him. They've found, after all this time, they've found the Antichrist, and it's none other than Senator Dick Durbin from Illinois. There he stood in their midst the other day in the well of the United States Senate in a business suit, his eyes bugging out, horns, forked tongue, cloven hooves, screaming and screeching. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's what they said. That's what they want you to believe happened, isn't it? You all heard that, right? So now we have two Democrats with guts. Howard Dean is letting the Bush gang have it with both barrels, and now Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois joins the fray. You know, I've met with Dick Durbin on several occasions, and let me tell you first off that he is one of the nicest, most sincere people in the United States Congress. He's engaging, well-versed, very well-versed, and not afraid to differ with his own people on ideas and issues. I like that. I like that a lot. As kind of a maverick myself, I like a guy that'll say, no, I don't agree with you. But I have to wonder if when Senator Durbin got up in front of the Senate on Wednesday and read the FBI report from an agent's visit to Gitmo, I have to wonder if he had any idea that he would become the whipping boy for the entire Republican attack machine for the rest of the week, maybe the rest of the month. Did you notice how the Republican talking points passed out to all the right-wing talk shows, urged them to wail away at Senator Durbin all day long? Did you notice that? Same words, same phrases. Even the local right-wing morning show here, the host of that show was after Dick Durbin. Oh, yeah. They all said the exact same thing. That Senator Durbin compared Gitmo to a gulag and likened our soldiers to Nazis and KGB. The only problem is that's not what Dick Durbin said. Here we're going to talk about the power of the right-wing media. That's not what Dick Durbin said. But all of you think that's what he said, isn't it? I'll bet you a dollar to a donut that the whole boatload of idiot right-wing talk show listeners are now mouthing the fact, the so-called fact, that a United States senator is calling our soldiers Nazis and commies. That's how it works, you see. The Limbaughs, the Laura Ingrams, the Hannitys, and the other Republican propagandists were spreading their manure, as always, deep, making Dick Durbin out to be some sort of a treasonous, traitorous seditionist. Why, Dick Durbin is anti-American, they cried. This is an outrage, they screamed. Hannity said Durbin must resign. Limbaugh said Durbin should keep it up because now the public will hear what an anti-American bunch of idiots are the Democrats. Sounds like Limbaugh was back on the OxyContin, doesn't it? He was also crying in his hydrocodone-induced diarrhea of the mouth about how the prosecutor over in Palm Beach County was picking on poor little Rushy for doctor shopping to get enough OxyContin and hydrocodone pills just to keep him higher than a kite for his back pain. That's it, his back pain. That's the ticket. Just a side note, old Rushy's playing a lot of golf nowadays, and you know what? I haven't heard him complain of back pain at all lately. Going to all these, and he's doing it supposedly without his pills. Anyway, back to the real story here. I could talk all day about Rushy and his drug-induced stupor that he's been in, you know, much of his life here lately. The whole gang of right-wing parrots were telling a story about Senator Dick Durbin, and the only problem with it was that, like most of the nonsense they blather on about every day, just wasn't true. Even our local morning show host attacked him on it without even knowing the real story. Or if the morning show did know the real story, they lied about what Senator Dick Durbin actually said. And unlike my Republican broadcasting counterparts, let me tell you the truth about what Dick Durbin said. Let me tell you exactly what he said, instead of reading something out of context or, in Hannity's case, just making it up, okay? Here is the truth. Here's the actual transcript of what Senator Dick Durbin said. And I quote, "When you read some of the graphic description of what has occurred here at Guantanamo Bay, I almost hesitate to put them in the congressional record, and yet they have to be added to this debate. Let me read to you what one FBI agent saw, and I quote from his report." Now I'll quote the FBI agent that Dick was quoting on the Senate floor. "On a couple of occasions, I entered interview rooms to find a detainee chained hand and foot in a fetal position on the floor with no chair, food, or water. Most times they urinated or defecated on themselves and had been left there for 18 to 24 hours or more. On one occasion, the air conditioning had been turned down so far and the temperature was so cold in the room that the barefooted detainee was shaking with cold. On another occasion, the air conditioner had been turned off, making the temperature in this unventilated room well over 100 degrees. The detainee was almost unconscious on the floor with a pile of hair next to him. He had apparently been literally pulling his hair out throughout the night. On another occasion, not only was the temperature unbearably hot, but extremely loud rap music was being played in the room and had been since the day before, with the detainee chained hand and foot in the fetal position on the tile floor." And now I quote Dick Durbin again. "If I read this to you and did not tell you that it was an FBI agent describing what Americans had done to prisoners in their control, you would most certainly believe this must have been done by Nazis The Soviets in their gulags or some mad regime, Pol Pot or others, that had no concern for human beings. Sadly, that is not the case. This was the action of Americans in the treatment of their prisoners, unquote. This is what Dick Durbin said. This is the quote from Dick Durbin, quoting the FBI man who had been there and seen it. Not Rush Limbaugh, not Sean Hannity, not Bill O'Reilly, not Laura Ingraham, not Neil Bortz, and oh my God, the other boatload of right-wing big mouths who pull the wool over on everybody's eyes and want you to think something that didn't happen. So you think this is child's play? So you think this is something for Americans to be engaged in? So we go to war to stop Saddam from torturing people, and then we engage in it ourselves? Isn't that what we heard about the torture and the rape rooms? After the WMD story fell apart, and after the story about being welcomed in the streets with flowers and candy and cheers, after that fell apart, then we were told we went into Iraq to liberate them and to save them from torture. And now we're doing it ourselves. Do you hear yourselves? Do you understand what you're saying when you say this is child's play? This is a fraternity initiation stuff? What kind of a complete idiot, and I most certainly do mean idiot, because if you're stupid enough to believe this way, you don't have the sense you were born with. What kind of an American would condone this action by Americans? Damn it, this is my country too, and I'll be damned if I'm going to sit by and have my government, and that's who Dick Durbin was talking about, my government, and specific people in my government who know this is going on. I'm not going to sit by and have my government engage in illegal acts of torture and not say anything about it. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut about it, and neither should Dick Durbin, and neither should anybody in Congress with a conscience. It would be un-American of me not to say anything about it. No matter what you have to say about how we treat our prisoners, are you really stupid enough to think our soldiers won't be repaid in kind? Are you really so ignorant as to think that we can turn our backs on this kind of thing and then not expect future enemies to do the same thing to our soldiers? I'll tell you this much. If you think this kind of treatment is okay for Americans to do, then you have no regard for our own soldiers' welfare. You haven't thought this out except for your idiotic desire to be Mr. or Mrs. Tough Guy or Gal. Sure, let's torture those ragheads. You know, torture them. They all want to kill us anyway, so let's just kill them at all and get it over with. Let's torture the hell out of them, and let's do it real well. Doesn't matter if they're guilty or not. Doesn't matter habeas corpus. None of that matters. Let's just torture them. Let's pull their fingernails out. Let's whatever we have to do. If the radical right-wingers had their way, and they nearly do have their own way right now, they would resort to the worst kind of torture, and you know I'm right. You know every Republican redneck in the whole country would be dreaming up ways to torture those people. Am I right? I know people who would kill all people of the Muslim faith, and they have said so. These people are dangerous. Really dangerous, because they're mad, and right now they're drunk with power. A power they misuse, a power they want to use to the max. Let me just say this. It's not the statements of Senator Dick Durbin that are off base, not at all. It's the voices of the idiot, drunk with power, so-called conservatives that are dangerous. If this keeps up, it won't be any foreign enemy that destroys this country we love. Oh, no. It'll be an enemy from within, an enemy like Limbaugh and Hannity and Ingraham and Bortz and the rest of the right-wing propagandists who'll be the cause of destruction of our freedom. Strong dictatorships can't flourish without a strong propaganda machine, and right now we've got the best propaganda machine this world has ever known, right here on our own shores. And God help us if they're not put in their places. all this falderal about Dick Durbin. I read you what Dick Durbin say. Did he say our soldiers are Nazis? No. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If you are in Lee County, 479-5540, and in Collier County, 263-6570, I want to hear what you have to say about this subject. If you're on the right and you think we should torture these people and we're justified in doing so, call me and explain it to me, because I don't understand, because I'm looking out for the welfare of our soldiers. Our people are the ones I'm thinking of. Yes, there are bad people in Guantanamo. Yes, there have been people released from Guantanamo who were entirely innocent, picked up in a raid with a bunch of other people and taken down there and subjected to this kind of treatment. How do you think they feel about the United States of America right now? How do you think the families of those people feel right now? Yeah, there's bad people out there. There's bad people in Gitmo, no doubt about it. But because other people in this world lower themselves to torture and degradation of prisoners doesn't mean the people of the United States of America have to resort to the same kind of thing. That just takes us down to their level, and the United States is better than that. We have always maintained that we're better than that, and by God, we should stay better than that. Let's go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Guy. I can hardly hear you, but that's okay. I'm calling about the Dick Durbin thing as well. And the reason why is because one thing that people seem to have failed to mention in all of this mess, and that is that they're holding Americans down there. And the thing, too, is that anybody could end up in Gitmo. Think about it, people, without ever being heard from again, because you're just locked in there until the war on terrorists is over. And that means you have no right to a lawyer. Your family may not even know you're down there and in there. They can put anybody in there, including good old Mr. Republican, Miss Republican. Don't think you're above all this, because I'm telling you, that's what the Jews thought in Germany. I know, my aunt grew up during World War II in Germany, a German citizen, not Jewish, but her father was a doctor. They knocked on their door one day. They came in. They took over her big fancy house that their dad had built over there. They moved the Third Reich in there. They put her in a work camp. My Uncle Udo had to go into the SS troop, and not by choice, and they killed her father. And for all the, this, don't think it can't happen here. This is how it starts. Just like in Alabama, banning books written by homosexuals. It looks little, it looks innocent. But hey, who's next to Catholics? Who are we going to pick on next? Maybe we'll pick on Hungarians. But I'm telling you, this is wrong. And with this illegal war, they're downplaying the Downing Street memos. I mean, these are minutes. They're not memos. They are minutes of a meeting. And they stand up. And I mean, this, they're saying that it was by an aide. I heard Lars Larson say, excuse me, Lars, I know you're probably listening. Lars, this is not written by a little aide working in somewhere with hearsay. This is from their top intelligence director, who happens to be what George Tenet was at the time, as the head of the CIA. And you're downplaying this?
Absolutely.
George Bush needs impeached. We need to take our airwaves back in this country, because when you, they know that knowledge is power, and they want to keep you dumb and down, and every American should start feeling insulted by corporate America, because they've got an agenda, people, and it has nothing to do with you. It has only to do with lining their pockets, right down to taking away Social Security and making it look like a bad thing. You know why? Because it is a bad thing for them right now. It's not playing into their pockets. Now they want you to invest in stocks and bonds and private bank accounts. Go ahead, people, and when your money's gone, stolen by these pirates in the end, without anybody to point a finger at, don't cry to me because I did not like your president.
Diane, thanks for your
call. Thank you, Guy.
Let me, before anybody calls and says, oh, my, you know, it's so terrible that we're treating these people this way. You know, we heard them all talk that way this week. Let me read an letter to the editor out of the New York Times from yesterday. To the editor, it was with dismay and horror that I viewed the photo of a cowering Iraqi prisoner menaced by vicious military guard dogs at Abu Ghraib prison. As an Austrian Jew imprisoned in Dachau and Buchenwald in 1938 and 1939, I was an eyewitness to similar inhuman behavior by sadistic Nazi SS guards. Otto Perl, Teaneck, New Jersey. Let's go to Jim in Naples. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
Got a question for you. Number one is, who were the people that flew into the World Trade Center?
Who were they?
Yeah, who were they?
Well, I know who they were. There were 19 of them were Saudis, right?
Uh-huh.
Were there any Iraqis in the group?
What religion were they, sir?
What has that got to do with anything?
Hello? What religion were they?
They were Muslims. Should we kill them all?
Uh-huh. No. No. But we should take care of our people first.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me ask you another question.
Let me ask the questions here. Well, aren't we taking care of our people?
Are we? Our people in Iraq right now are suffering under 130-degree temperature.
Yeah? And who put them there?
Our president did.
And why? And tell me why he said he was putting them there. Tell me why. You tell me why George Bush said he was putting them there.
If you let me speak,
I will let you speak, but first of all, you're going to answer this question or you won't speak anymore. Why did George Bush say he was sending them to Iraq? Why?
He said he was sending them there, among other things.
Oh, no. Let's go for the number one reason he said they were going there. What was it?
He said, and as John Kerry said, that there were weapons of mass destruction there. As John Kerry said as well.
As all of them were fooled into voting because Mr. Bush massaged the intelligence to get the answers he wanted.
Did Kerry not say that?
What?
Did Mr. Kerry not say the same thing?
They all got bamboozled because the Bush administration gave them faulty intent. Don't talk over me or we'll say goodbye. There's one thing I expect on this program. We'll have a two-way conversation and your conversation won't last very long. Got me?
Well, let me speak.
I will let you speak, but I'm going to tell you this. Everybody that voted for that war got the intelligence that the Bush administration ginned up and gave to the Congress, therefore getting their votes, and Bush's knew the intelligence was wrong.
But Guy, didn't John Kerry vote for the war? Yes.
He did because they gave him faulty intelligence from the Bush administration.
Was Bush given faulty intelligence?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
No, wait a minute. Was Bush given faulty intelligence? No. No. They got faulty intelligence because that's what they asked for.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, yes.
How can Mr. Kerry...
Dick Cheney went to the CIA over and over and over again.
Oh, no,
I have this from the CIA, mister. I have it from the CIA that Mr. Dick Cheney made 10 unprecedented trips to the offices of the CIA because every time the CIA came back with actual intelligence, Cheney said, that's not what we should say.
Oh, come on, but
that's what they said.
Who said that?
That's what Dick Cheney said.
No.
The people at the CIA could not satisfy Mr. Cheney and Mr. Bush with their intelligence because now we have the proof in hand by these Downing Street minutes, actual minutes of a meeting that said the Bushes were...
Okay, tell me when the meeting was.
Don't have the date here. Sometime in 2002.
Because there wasn't one. But anyway...
Well, no. You're not going to get away with that. What do you mean there wasn't one? You're saying there was no Downing Street meeting?
I'm not saying there wasn't, but...
You just said there wasn't one.
No. What I said was that was not the meeting that prompted this. What prompted this initially, and you know darn good and well it was who flew into the World Trade Center.
Where do you get your information? This is what I'm talking about. We have people like you that call up here claiming to know something, and you don't know your head from a hole in the ground on this issue. You don't know what you're talking about. You are repeating the lies that you hear from Hannity and Limbaugh. Goodbye. That you, sir, are an idiot. And I'm sorry to say that, but you don't. Call here and repeat the right-wing talking points from Limbaugh and Hannity like I don't know better. Now they're going to deny the Downing Street minutes? I don't think so. I don't think so. We're going to be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere. We might get some more nonsense from the right in a little while. It is awfully entertaining, don't you think? If you want to hear, oh, well, I won't go into it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG. Where do you go when your company needs a car or truck? Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center. Whatever you need, we've got it at the price no one else can beat. Right now, get new 05 F-150s for just $13,499. Yes, Ford F-150 trucks from $13,499. Plus, get the advantage of the business preferred network. So remember, when your company needs a car or truck, whether it's 2 or 50 vehicles, Sam Galloway Ford has over 600 work trucks available for immediate delivery. Flatbeds, box trucks, utility bodies, landscape dumps, you name it, we've got it. Because right now, the number one Ford dealer in Florida is dealing. And with 2005 F-150s at $13,499, they will go fast. Be sure to ask for Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center today. Boy Scout Drive between 41 and Summerlin, Fort Myers. Because we sell more, you will save more. Call 800-754-1871 for details.
754-1871. If you see your home as your castle and you love the joy that it brings, then the storm clouds we will battle. Every castle deserves a king.
Did you know a small water stain on your ceiling probably doesn't mean your roof has just started leaking? It probably means it's been leaking for years. King Roofing has developed techniques over the past 25 years to fix leaky roofs to last. In fact, King Roofing is one of the only roofing companies in this area that has three specialty crews that only do repairs. Call King Roofing today, because a small water stain on your ceiling means a larger problem with your roof. King Roofing.
Are you constantly searching for new fresh floral products? Well, Jean's Fifth Avenue Florist is changing the way you shop and purchase floral arrangements. They proudly introduced jeansflorist.com. It's a fully interactive website allowing you to search for ideas, customize your arrangements, and set up same-day deliveries. Jeansflorist.com allows you the luxury of a new and simple way to decorate, sending your personal thoughts or condolences with a few clicks of the mouse. This website was not designed to keep folks from visiting them at their location on Yeager Road in Naples. They just know how demanding your day is, and now you have another option if you just don't have time. Of course, you are more than welcome to visit them and see all of the arrangement choices in person. You'll find a staff that loves what they do and strives to make customers happy. Jean's Fifth Avenue Florist on Yeager Road off Pine Ridge Road in Naples. For more information, call 261-7111, 261-7111, or visit them on the web at jeansflorist.com.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. sharp each day. Germain Toyota's Big Lot North on U.S. 41 in Naples will sell used cars for $5 each every day. All day long, cars will be sold for $5 each. Hundreds of used cars are on sale. $14,000 cars. Now $9,000, $8,000 cars. Under $5,000. $5,000 cars. $2,000. It starts this morning at 10. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cars will be sold for only $5 each. $5 for a car. Get to Germain Toyota's Big Lot North early. Get behind the wheel during these 3 days and reserve the car of your dream for $5. Germain Toyota. Toyota's Big Lot North, U.S. 41 in Wiggins Pass, Naples. Call your county's biggest used car retailer is selling cars for only $5. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't miss the deal of a lifetime.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, back with the Guy James Show. You know I love it when we get callers like that last guy. Don't they make themselves sound silly? They might as well just play the. They might as well just record Limbaugh and Hannity and play it over. They can't think for themselves. What's the date of the Downing Street minutes? Because it never happened. The guy said July 23rd, 2002. I've got the Downing Street minutes right in front of me. Sorry I didn't have that date right there at the moment, but secret and strictly personal, UK eyes only. Mm-hmm. Well, I won't take time to read the whole thing to you, but there you have it. We're going to go to, who are we going to go to? Somebody's been waiting a long time here. It's Jill in Tampa. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hey, I'm calling about the Durbin issue.
Yes.
Just an example of how hard this is for me as an American. I just turned on CNN this morning, and there was a reporter on a video phone, and she was reporting that there were people that they just found in this house. They were chained. They said they used electricity to torture them, and they had horrible injuries. And I got knots in my stomach because I was afraid it was us doing that again. I mean, it turned out to be Iraqi insurgents, but as an American, I should be able to hear the news like that and just be disgusted that it's some oppressive regime that does that to people, not us.
I agree.
And you have to be afraid that it's an American administration that's condoning this. It's hard. We're better than that.
Weren't we all raised to be better than that? Weren't we?
I thought we were. But we're America. We're not a third world totalitarian regime.
I can't remember who it was this week, but I was watching one of the news shows on TV, and somebody from either Time or Newsweek was saying that they got hundreds and hundreds of emails from conservatives right on the right saying, "Yeah, well, we ought to treat those people a lot worse than they are right now. So what's wrong with the water torture? What's wrong with pulling out fingernails? And he got inundated with emails like that. I'm thinking, my God.
Well, what's wrong with that is because we're the United States of America.
That's right.
And we don't do that, and we've never had to do that. And to think to that now is just horrible. And just when I saw that this morning, it just really hit home exactly how low this administration has sunk.
You're absolutely right, Jill. And when I look at that beautiful flag, the stars and stripes, something I look at that flag and I think, not under that flag will we do a thing like that.
Exactly.
We won't.
We're a beacon of light to
That's
the world.
Right.
We're not a source of shame, or at least we shouldn't be.
That's right. Jill, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Great to hear from you. Oh, let's see here. We're going to go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Very nice show. I enjoyed the last lady. It strikes me that we have an administration and people in this country that don't realize what war is about. I watched Cheney the other day where he was saying that these atrocities in Guantanamo didn't happen. You've got to be a nitwit not to realize that comes with war. Those things happen. And whether it comes down from higher up, the commanders giving orders for those things to happen, or individuals just acting on their own, they happen. And to try to deny that these things don't happen is just ridiculous. And if you can't accept it, don't go to war. We should have never gone to war with this country. There is no reason that we had to go to war with Saddam Hussein. And for the gentleman who called and was trying to pin you down on papers, what difference does a date make? These guys did this stuff and then made the information fit to try to convince, and apparently they did, congressmen and so forth, to vote to give the president the War Powers Act. And folks, that wasn't a declaration of war. That was giving him the power to declare war anywhere on this planet. If he wants to go to war with Korea tomorrow, he can do it.
As a last resort is what he was told, but he didn't use it as a last resort.
Well, that will be his opinion as to what a last resort is. I don't want a president of this country to have that kind of power. Congress has the power to declare war, and it should have been done under a lot of debate. administration, their entire administration here. Rumsfeld intimidated generals that retired early because they didn't want to put up with him. The Republican Party constantly intimidates all these talk show people you mentioned, constantly intimidating. And if you bring up any question about is this right or is this wrong, they intimidate you to the point where you figure, well, I better not speak up because I'll be kicked in the butt again. But people, you have to speak up about this stuff. This president is not a perfect person. None of those people up there are perfect people. And you require debate in this government before you enter into this kind of crazy stuff. I was interested in the apology they made for lynchings back in the...
Oh, yes.
Now, they tried to pass a law against lynchings. And it was funny, they did this apology in the building, and I can't think of who the guy was that opposed the bill when it came up back years and years ago. But as far as I know, even with this apology, they still haven't passed any law against lynching. And from what I've heard on talk radio this last week, I'm sure that my fellow Americans would have no problem lynching anybody that disagreed with them.
You
That's
betcha.
Just really something. I wanted to...
Got to move on, John.
Let me say
board full of callers.
Well, let me say something about the president. On the news tonight, they indicated that he doesn't go to Arlington Cemetery out of respect for these soldiers who've died. Am I just backwards in this country?
I guess you
Thank
are.
You, sir.
Thank you for your call. Oh, my. Let's see, where are we going to go here? We're going to go to John in Cape Coral. Hello, John.
Well, I tell you, to follow my friend John in Fort Myers, he's 100% right. Hello?
Yes.
Last night, I happened to do some channel surfing, and I wound up on C-SPAN 2, and I watched, I just didn't intend to watch for a couple of minutes, and I wound up glued to the TV for 2 hours watching the Conyers hearings.
Ah, yes. We're going to have one of those people on here in about a half hour or so.
Who are you going to have on?
Cindy Sheehan.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a young lawyer, and I didn't quite get his name.
Ah, yes. Very sharp.
I mean, brilliant. And, you know, I have come on your show, and I think I probably have made myself a pain in the neck constantly repeating that I thought this war was illegal, that it violated the Constitution. You've been very patient with me. And last night, I heard my words coming back at me from this lawyer, from the people on the committee, that this war is illegal because it didn't follow the Constitution of the United States. So I was beginning to wonder, am I completely crazy or am I right on this issue?
Well, no, you've been right all along about it.
And then I heard this lawyer calling and saying, using words like high crimes and misdemeanors.
Absolutely, that's what we're dealing with.
The fact that this president, and he brought it out point by point, deliberately lied to the Congress, which, the words you've been saying, deliberately lied to the Congress about the weapons of mass destruction, deliberately misled everybody as to the reasons to go into war, set the stage long before he ever went to war, and that's what the Downing Street memos was all about that your caller talked about. And I'm wondering why these people are trying to deny it. You know, there are parallels here, Guy, and I'm a little concerned because these are the same parallels Hitler used to obtain power in Nazi Germany prior to World War II.
Well, there are parallels. Did you read the letter we read from the gentleman who'd been in Dachau and Buchenwald? Said he saw the same thing there. Why are we complaining, you know?
Well, I think what's happening is these people can't stand it when the truth is beginning to come out. Their shaky foundation for this empire is beginning to fall apart.
You bet. And they are in the minority now, and they know it, and they hear the footsteps. John, thank you for your call. We've got a bunch of people waiting. Thank you so much.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad there's a forum here at least to discuss it.
We're trying. Thank you.
Take care.
And we're going to go to our third gentleman named John in a row. Let me see. Are we? No, yeah, John in Naples. Hi, John.
You're talking to John in Naples.
Yes,
now.
Sir.
I'll make this short and sweet. I just wonder what all this torture is all about. these prisoners in Guantanamo have been there, the average, about 3 years, isn't it, now?
Been there a long time. A lot of them been there a long time.
Well, you know, anything they do now, you know, the plans have been changed.
Oh, and like a lot of the extra.
What are we going to learn from them?
Sure. And
I mean,
that's right.
Total stupid. I mean, if you're going to torture somebody, do it the day you catch them before their friends know you got them.
Yeah.
You know, 12 hours after they're caught and their friends know they're caught, they're going to change their plan anyway. What's the difference?
Sure, they're going to change their
plan.
You're
going to learn nothing.
That's right. And they've proven
ridiculous.
They've proven that doesn't work anyway. John, thanks for your call.
Okay.
You make
bye
sense.
Bye.
You do. 94% on an MSNBC poll. 94% on the poll, do you believe President Bush misled the nation in order to go to war with Iraq? 94% said yes. They do believe he misled us. You know, do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means that there are about, oh, I don't know, 30, 40, 50% of the people in this country running around right now saying, it's all right if Bush lied to us. That's what they're saying. It's all right. Our president can get on TV and look us in the face and lie to us, and it's all right. He can lie to the Congress with information he knows is wrong, and it's all right. That's what this poll said. 94% of Americans in this poll, and it was with 20,440 votes, 94% said they believe Bush misled the nation to go to war. And yet, about, what, 41, 42% of the people still back this man? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You thought it was a horrible sin that Bill Clinton got up and said, I did not have sex with that woman. I thought it was a bad thing, too. That was nothing. That was nothing compared to this, and yet you made this huge deal out of it. $70 million in Ken Starr and all of his minions. But this is nothing to you? Please, people, please. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven, Florida. Hi, Juanita.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk just a little bit about, for one thing, the congressional meeting, or whatever they want to call it.
Oh, the hearings for John Conyers? Yes.
I'm so proud of him.
I am, too.
So pleased we have somebody like him, and he's been standing up for us a long, long time.
He sure has. I tried to get him on the program this week, but as you might expect, he was in big demand this weekend.
Yes. And another thing, in Guantanamo, did you know they're building another prison now?
Yes,
there?
Good old Halliburton's got another $30 million contract. Fancy that.
And I'm having trouble hearing you, so I may talk over you. I hope I don't. But I noticed, like, the phone call you got from the gentleman, you know, I noticed the methodology of people that call like him, you know, they'll ask a question, try to pin you down. And I noticed they do that on some of the other talk shows that we have, such
yeah.
as Randy Rhodes or Mike Malloy.
Sure.
And it's like you said, it's the same old, same old.
It sure is. It sure is.
And one thing about, he said, well, didn't John Kerry have the same information? Didn't he vote for the war? Well, maybe John Kerry is our president, but he's not in office now.
Well, that's for sure.
And the one we've got in office, he's the one that did it.
We're going to talk a little bit about that later, how John Kerry could have been our president had it not been for some shenanigans going on in Ohio.
And the last one was Gore.
That's right.
But they didn't get in there, so it was stolen, and he wanted it so bad, he did, you know, he stole it.
That's right.
And I think it was stolen again, but that's beside the point. You know, they do seem to have their same talking points, and they, like, they're going to trip you up when they call. They'll say, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? And you know they're setting you up right there, trying
that's right.
to.
That's right. Hey,
One more One more thing I wanted to say about, a lot of talk is made about, well, look what they've done to us, and we, you know, the prisoners, you know, and so what if they're treated like that. Well, I'm thinking about, you know, all these people that call themselves Christians in the government and so forth. What about the Good Samaritan?
Yeah, well.
The Good Samaritan. And also, what about do good to those who despitefully use you? And, you know, just something to think about.
We need to thank so much for your call.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. You know, one thing I've wondered, you've all heard about the recruiters having trouble getting enough people into the service right now. You know, and that's a very, very big issue. Sooner or later, we're going to run out of people. The thing I don't understand is this. We've got a bigger population than we've ever had, right? And we had no problem getting soldiers before this war started, right? We recruiters always did real well, and they replenished everybody that quit. There are all these right-wingers that have their children out there that are graduating from high school or college or whatever. Why, if they believe in this war so much, why aren't they marching those kids down to the recruiter's office and getting them signed up? Why is there a shortage if there's this many people that believe in their hearts that this war is just and right and Mr. Bush did the right thing? Why aren't they marching their kids down to the recruiter's office? I'm appealing to you, to all of you that think the public schools aren't good enough and all that, and you've got your kids in a private school because you think public school is no good. Why aren't you signing your kids up? Why? Why, I would think if you're a patriotic American and you believe this war is a just thing and you've got a good, healthy child in your hand that turned 18 years old, just got out of high school, why, get them in the car? Drive them down to the recruiters. Give them a little speech on the way down there. Mr. Bush has said this war is just, and you must do your duty, son or daughter. Why are we having this problem? I don't know. Let's go to Chris in Naples. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guy?
Good.
Did you make any money from my last pitch for you?
Oh, thousands of dollars.
Good, good. I just want to point out one difference.
Okay.
Like, after they cut off Nick Berg and Daniel Pearl's head, mm-hmm. they didn't pour any water on them.
They what?
A big difference.
They didn't pour any water on them?
Well, you know, we're supposed to be pouring water on people's heads.
Oh, I don't know about that.
They cut off Nick Berg's head.
Chris, you're not going to say that you condone chaining people to the floor and the dogs and all that. You're not going to say, you know, it's not the worst torture I ever heard of. I'll admit that, but we're America, and we don't do that, and we never have, and we never should.
I'll bet they would get worse treatment if they were sent to an American prison by American prisoners.
Well, maybe so, if the guards weren't doing their job. But nobody should suffer inhumane treatment at the hands of an American, ever.
I have one quick question for you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, not a gotcha. The soldiers get a War on Terrorism medal when they go to Iraq. Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't know they got
a
specific...
A War on Terrorism medal.
No.
And if this is not a part of the War on Terrorism medal, they don't really deserve a medal. If Iraq is not part of the war on terrorism, I guess they don't deserve a medal, right?
I say they deserve a medal, but it shouldn't be one called that.
Okay, you didn't know about that? I'll send you the information on it.
No, I didn't know they got a specific... In every conflict, there's a medal everybody gets. I just didn't know what.
But if it's not really part of the war on terrorism, they're probably dishonoring themselves by taking it.
Well, I don't know. It would be up to each individual person to decide
what,
that.
What do you think?
I wouldn't take it.
You wouldn't take it? Okay, good.
No, because the war was unjust, and I was sent there as an American to do something that was righteous, and this is not a righteous war. We started this war under false pretenses. Iraq wasn't the place to do it.
Where did you want to send troops?
Where did I? We sent them to Afghanistan. That was
is that a legal moral war? Is that legal and moral?
I wasn't in big favor of it, but hey, America was demanding a pound of flesh at the time, and they thought Osama was there, and I thought, well, he's fair game. Let's go after him.
But is that a legal moral war, the Afghanistan war? Is that legal and moral?
Actually, as far as legal, it isn't any more legal than the Iraq war.
So it's still illegal. And you think it's moral?
I thought it was moral to go after Osama.
How about now?
What, now?
Yeah, is it still a moral war now?
Well, it isn't now because we pretty much turned it back over to the Taliban. They've got control of much of the country again. They're growing as much many of the poppies. In fact, they're growing more poppies than they ever have. So what have we accomplished there? The country's certainly not any better off financially than it was before, and we still are empty-handed with Osama.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Chris. Let's go to... oh, boy. Let's go to Pat at Marco Island. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I just want to touch on that poll you said from MSNBC, the same station that had John Kerry ahead by 20%.
You think 94% is a mistake?
94%. Let me tell you something. Churchill had to lie openly to the English people to get them to go to war against Nazism. That was a needed thing.
So then
the liberals in England, just like the liberals in this country, when Roosevelt was trying to rally the United States into World War II, fought it.
Wait a minute. Who fought our entry into the Second World War? Which party was it?
Who fought it?
Which American political party dug their feet in the sand and said, no, we're not going to go, and tried to keep Roosevelt from going to war?
Roosevelt was a Democratic president, and it was a Democratic party who wanted to go. But it was the liberal left who was actually fighting.
The liberal left.
That's right.
That didn't want us to go to war.
Did not want
in
us
a
to
Second
go
World War. Oh, my God. You better read your book. You better read your history over again a little bit, Pat. You better take another look at that one. Let's go. Let's see. We got a few minutes till the top of the hour. Boy, that's a good one. let's go to Bill in Ohio. Bill, what's the latest? Is Bill with us? Are you with us, Bill? Doggone. I think we might have lost Bill. Bill, call us back if you're listening. Let's see, Ron, if he... Okay, we think we lost Bill. All right. Bill, call us back. We want to hear what you have to say about this little problem that they got up in Ohio right now with Governor Taft and some of his people. Oh, my. It was a little bit of a problem, I think. And you know one thing I haven't touched on yet tonight, and we'll get back to this after the top of the hour. I want to open up a couple of the lines, if you will, Ron, especially for this, for all the calls from the right-wingers that want to come in and apologize to Michael Schiavo. I think we should open up a couple of our lines to take the overflow of calls that we will get from right-wingers that want to apologize to Michael Schiavo, calling him a murderer and all that sort of thing, now that this autopsy's come out. You know, Hannity, I pick on him a lot today. I think he was particularly crazy this week. Hannity said, someone called him up and said, well, you know, she's blind, and you said that she could see earlier. And Hannity said, well, we don't know if she was blind when she was alive, only that she couldn't see when she died. You know, Sean, you can never see when you die. What kind of moronic statement was that? You know, he further said that the autopsy only showed her condition when she was dead, so we still don't know what she was feeling when she was alive. So now, Sean, all autopsies are meaningless, according to you? Tell me, were some of you fool enough to buy Hannity's ridiculous argument? You know, if the Schiavo case doesn't prove to you that these Bush neocons are totally out of touch with reality, then I don't know what will. But again, we've got a couple of lines opened up. I know they will be flooded. Ron, make sure that you can save those two lines for these people, because there are going to be hundreds, maybe thousands, of right-wing Republicans calling in to apologize, to offer their sincere apologies to Michael Schiavo for all that they accused him of. And, you know, I saw Senator Bill Frist and Tom DeLay do some real dancing this week over that. It was Senator Bill Frist, one of America's finest doctors, to hear all the Republicans tell about it, that said that he saw the pictures of her and she seemed lucid and all that. He made that faraway diagnosis. Well, thank you, Mr. Frist. You were just right on the money there, weren't you? You just knew exactly what you're talking about, weren't you? And Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay said, she's going to be rehabilitated. Yeah, that's what Tom DeLay said. I guess that autopsy didn't mean anything to him either, huh? So, 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, or 04. We're going to take your calls. If you want to call in and apologize to Michael Schiavo tonight, we're waiting. I know there will be many. And I know you want to get your little speeches ready to apologize to this man for the nasty things you said about him. You are listening to the Guy James Show, 1240 AM, 1270 AM, Wink, WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Don't go away.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink, WNOG.
News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. A fourth suspect and a change of scenery for the others. Three suspects.
You want me to go ahead and call Ms. Sheehan?
One's already there, the other two on their way. A judge ruled the three will be held for eight more days.
All along, though, authorities have remained very tight-lipped about the investigation. And since the three suspects who have been jailed for 9 days now are changing their stories, investigators apparently having a tough time getting the truth out of them.
Fox's Julie Banderas. Meanwhile, American lawmakers are getting antsy about this investigation.
The fact that they waited a few days to go into the houses, waited a few days to impound the vehicles, I think that left a lot to be desired.
Florida Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Lightin.
Because of the great tourism that takes place between, especially in my South Florida community, and Aruba, it behooves the Aruban authorities to really participate and cooperate with the U.S. investigative authorities.
Holloway disappeared almost 3 weeks ago on a high school graduation trip. From missing overseas to missing here at home, a Utah Boy Scout disappearing last night east of Park City. The boy was last seen wearing a sweatshirt, shorts, and tennis shoes. Rescue crews, along with dogs, coming to the area for the missing 12-year-old. And what's in your wallet? Hopefully all of your money. Information on some 40 million credit card holders now in the hands of somebody out there after security breach at a major transaction company. For Fox's Adam Housley tells us that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Car Systems legal counsel spoke yesterday about the breach. They said they were made aware back on Sunday, May 22nd, notified the FBI the next day. The company says they didn't tell the public because they were requested not to by the FBI.
Addresses and social security numbers were not accessed. You are listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
But because we had a plan, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. Prepare your business today by visiting www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Year. What happened to your hair? Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Have questions about your car? Want to know the latest trends in the automobile industry? Or just want to talk car talk? Well, tune in to Wink WNOG's Car Clinic Show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Hosted by legendary automobile guru John Nocera for the last 20 years. John will take your calls and answer your questions on just about anything. Give him a call, tune in, and enjoy Dr. Johnny's perspective Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. only here on Wink WNOG.
I'm a little upset.
Why? Are the in-laws in town?
No, everybody wants me to spend money. Buy now, pay later. Buy two, get one free. I want to save money, not spend it.
Now, how about this? Call Breeze Mortgage.
What can you do for me?
We've got the best rates, refinancing home purchases. We'll cut your payments virtually in half with our new interest-only loan.
Let me guess. Refi now, pay later, right?
No. Save now. Call now at 239-598-1881 and listen to the Breeze Mortgage program every Saturday at noon.
I'll call Breeze Mortgage. A great loan for my great home.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
The only thing we
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Welcome back. Starting our second hour of the program, I promised you early on that we'd have Cindy Sheehan on from the Gold Star Families for Peace. And before I talk to Cindy, I want to read you something. Indulge me just for a moment, if you will. I'd like to read you something written by Cindy's daughter, Carly Sheehan, about her brother, Casey. Casey was lost in April of 04 in and around Baghdad. And Carly wrote this about her brother, and I'd like to read it to you. I think it's particularly important. Have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? The torrential rains of a mother weeping will never be done. They call him a hero. You should be glad that he's won. But have you ever heard the sound of a mother screaming for her son? Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? He must be brave because his boy died for another man's lies. The only grief he allows himself are long, deep sighs. Have you ever heard the sound of a father holding back his cries? Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? They say that he died so the flag will continue to wave. But I believe he died because they had oil to save. Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep? The leaders want to keep you numb so the pain won't be so deep. But if we the people let them continue, another mother will weep. Have you ever heard the sound of a nation being rocked to sleep? Particularly poignant writing by Carly Sheehan. I want to welcome now to the program a very courageous lady. A lot of you saw her at the Conyer hearings the past couple of days. Gold Star Families for Peace, Cindy Sheehan. Cindy, welcome to the program. Have we got Cindy with us? Hi, Cindy. It's good to have you along with us.
Hi. Thank you.
It's. I don't know if you heard us or not. I didn't have you on the line. We just read Carly's poem.
Yeah, I heard.
Which I think is a wonderful, wonderful piece. I've read that many, many times, and it's.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm not exaggerating, Guy, when I say it saved my life because it gave me a reason for living, and that was to try and wake up America. So not very many more moms and dads and families have to go through what our family is going through.
Your daughter is very eloquent, to say the very least. Tell us a little bit about your son, Casey.
Casey was just... if anybody could have a perfect son, he was perfect son. He always tried to do what was right, what he believed was right, and it came from a deep moral core, you know, in his being. And we rarely had to punish him. He never talked back to his dad or I. You know, he rarely fought with his brother and sisters, you know, argued with them. He was honest, and he was brave, he was trustworthy, and he was trusting, and I think that's, you know, what led to his death, you know, being the person he was just a perfect soldier, and he was obedient, and he was taken advantage of by this administration who killed him, and he was funny. He loved drama. He was in the drama club. He was majoring in drama in college before a recruiter got a hold of him. And I think if that recruiter hadn't got a hold of him, that he'd be through school right now teaching elementary school like he wanted to, and he might even have some kids.
My, oh, my. That's a tragic story, and there are, what, as of today, about 1,715 more stories like that to tell.
That's right, not to count the uncounted and countless Iraqi families that the policies of our reckless administration have caused.
When Casey joined, what was the situation when he joined the military?
We're like middle class, and he had already been in college for 3 years, and He had no plans of joining the military. He had been actively recruited since he was a junior in high school. And a recruiter got a hold of him and, you know, promised him that he could finish college in the Army. He promised him he would get a $20,000 signing bonus. He promised him he could be a chaplain's assistant. You know, all these things that he broke, you know, all the promises that the recruiter broke. And when kids sign a agreement of enlistment with their recruiter, their military recruiter, they don't realize that it's just a one-way contract, that the recruit has to abide by everything in the contract, but the government doesn't have to abide by anything. And one thing that the recruiter promised Casey that we didn't get in writing, and it's the only promise I care about, was that he scored so high on the military achievement test that even if there was a war, because Casey joined in May of 2000, you know, before September 11th, but even if there was a war, that Casey would never see battle, that he would only be in a support role. And as a specialist, he was a specialist, so that's essentially true. But Casey was killed 5 days after he got in Iraq in a battle.
5 days.
Yeah.
You know, on your website, with the Gold Star Families for Peace, there's a piece on there, A Lie of Historic Proportions. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Well, I believe that, you know, it's based on the Downing Street memo dated 23 July 2002, which said that this administration was planning on invading Iraq, and they were going to lie about it and base it on weapons of mass destruction and terrorism, and that they were going to have to fix the intelligence around that policy or that plan of invading Iraq, so they would have justification for, you know, invading a country that was no threat to the United States of America or Great Britain or really any country because of the sanctions that we had for 12 years after the first Gulf War had practically decimated the country. And I believe that lie is responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of innocent people, my son included.
Well, I agree, and I think the Bushes will rue the day that these minutes, actually, of the meetings came to light. What was it like testifying at the Conyers hearings the other day?
It was an amazing experience, and I've been working really hard for months and months and months trying to, like I said, just go all over the country and expose the lies and try to wake America up. And to be part of that historic event was an honor for me, but I think it's just the beginning. And, you know, I don't really care about Bush and his, you know, the rest of his evil neocon cabal. I just want to bring the troops home because it is a lie. None of them should be over there. And now that it's been unequivocally proven that it's a lie, I don't understand why we're still over there. Why any people are being slaughtered daily in this mistake. And how, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not common sense. You know, why isn't everybody in this country just standing up and saying, get our troops out of there? Let the people of Iraq, which is a cradle of civilization, give them the money and the supplies they need and the support they need, but get our military presence out of there. You know, stop killing people in our name. And I really think that Americans just need to rise up against this government because we have no checks and balances. Even the opposition party is so weak. You know, John Conyers is a powerful, wonderful man, but look where we had to have the hearing. We had to have the hearing in practically a basement broom closet in the Capitol, and the Republicans kept on calling votes. They had 11 votes in 2 hours, and all the reps there told me they hadn't even had 11 votes in 2 days. So they're playing partisan politics with our children's lives, and that's despicable and it's immoral.
I think so. I certainly agree. You know, I quoted a poll a little earlier in the program, MSNBC. 94% of the public now believes that we were misled as to going to war. And yet, There are many, many people, as you know, who still say, well, you know, even though he misled us, it's the right thing to do. How do you answer people like that? It's difficult, isn't it?
That invading a country that was no threat to the United States and demolishing that country and killing innocent people in that country and killing Americans who are only trying to do their duty, for what? You know, if the goal was to make Iraq descend into chaos and civil war, then yeah, I guess we did the right thing. But, you know, how many more people are we going to have to kill before we equal who Saddam supposedly killed? You know, I've heard like maybe 300,000 Iraqis, which is tragic, and he's a bad man. But, you know, we've killed between 100 and 2,000 innocent Iraqis, and that's just in this invasion occupation. The sanctions during the Clinton years and the Bush years killed over a million Iraqis. So who really is the bad guy here?
Sure, sure. Yeah, there's no reason I think that we have to join them if they're being, you know, nasty people about it. Yeah, on your Gold Star Families for Peace, how's that going with you? Have you got a lot of members with it, a lot of people with you?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
Okay, you're on your website, Gold Star Families for Peace. Have you got a lot of people to join you in this endeavor so far?
Well, we represent right now about 75 soldiers and their family members. You know, sometimes only one person from a family joins, but sometimes an entire family joins. But we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of supporters who gratefully don't qualify to be in Gold Star Families for Peace because one of the requirements is that, well, the only requirement is that you have had a loved one killed in the war.
Well.
And so, you know, of course people don't really want to join us, but if you have had a loved one killed in the war, it's a wonderful supportive group. We not only are peace activists, but we're a support group for each other because, you know, God willing, this occupation will end, and it's never going to end for us. You know, some people in this country can't even find Iraq on a map. And we'll never forget Iraq. It's carved in our hearts and souls. So we just get, you know, every day we have a little emailing group and we support each other, send each other articles and love. And you know, I talk to many of my members on the phone. And since I do go out all over the country, I'm able to meet them personally because it's a nationwide organization. So we haven't really done any outreach because we're really aware of the fact that a lot of families will support the so-called mission, even though they can't explain it, and they support the president because they don't want to have think that their children died in vain.
And that's a tough thought, isn't it? That's got to be a tough thought.
It's a painful. Believe me, we in Gold Star Families for Peace have faced that fact, and now what we're trying to do is to make sure our kids don't die in vain by making sure they've died for peace and justice and not war and hatred.
Cindy, there are a lot of people listening tonight. There are many people who may not have lost someone out of their own family, but know somebody that did, that knows a family who has lost someone. Can you tell me, give us some details on how to get a hold of your organization?
Okay, the best thing to do would be go to our website, www.gsandgo.org, and we have a membership button that they can go in, and I'll get an email, and the person who does our website will get an email, or they can contact me by email at my personal email. It's ssandcindy121@aol.com.
Okay. We'd like to get more people to talk to you. Got somebody wants to ask you a question here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Let me see here. What do I do on this, Ron? Just go ahead and push their number as well. Okay, we got Dave from California online with Cindy Sheehan. Dave, what's your question?
Guy and Cindy,
I can't hear Dave at all.
She can't hear Dave.
Okay. Well, if you can relay it to her, it's a brief one.
Okay,
but
it's
been my observation that Tony Blair is a very intelligent fellow, which Bush is not, a very decent man, which Bush is not. It strikes me that Tony Blair cares about the people, Bush does not. why in the heck is he in this role with him? Why?
Yeah, okay, Cindy, Dave is asking the question. He's calling from California, by the way. He's asking the question, what about Tony Blair? Do you have any contact at all with any of the British people? And what do you think about Tony Blair having gone along with Mr. Bush on this whole thing?
I do have contact. A Scottish lady whose son was killed in the war belongs to Gold Star Families for Peace. They have an organization called Military Families Against the War. And I just recently met Reg Keyes, who ran against Tony Blair for Prime Minister in the last elections. And I just believe that it's all about profiteering. You know, most of the people in Great Britain were against invading Iraq, against Tony Blair throwing in with George Bush in this endeavor. And, but again, you know, he ended up winning like George Bush ended up so-called, quote-unquote, winning this time, which, you know, I don't really believe he won either in 2004. But, you know, I think it's not only the only despicable that he went in with it now, but now he's still supporting it, and they're still buddy-buddy. And at their press conference last week, when George Bush said that he was looking forward to being his continued partner in spreading freedom throughout the greater Middle East, I found that very frightening. I don't know if anybody else did.
I did too.
But if I lived in the greater Middle East, I'd be going, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need your brand of freedom and democracy that comes in and devastates our country and kills our people and exploits our natural resources. You know, that it's just, to me, it's very despicable, and I think people in America need to start paying attention that, you know, it's not making Iraq freer, and it's our freedoms are being robbed all the time. You know, they're taking our freedoms in the name of keeping us safe, which, you know, that's not true. So what did my son die for? George Bush told me he died to keep people free. Who did Casey free by his death? You know, nobody can answer that. Who did Casey make more free by dying? You know, nobody can answer that.
Five's not for her.
Yeah, you know, than Dave, the question that Dave asked. But, you know, it's all, and, you know, I don't know if your listeners know this, but during a time of war, a lot of people make a lot of money, and you got to follow the money. And that's why our government is supporting this war, because they get money from the people who are making the money.
Well, war is, there's always profiteers in wars. Here in this country, starting clear back in the Civil War with the DuPonts making money off the gunpowder and all that sort of thing.
It's, right, I thought that used to be considered treason.
Yeah, well, that's more power to the people that get their money into war. That's the way it seems this country is. A lot of people have been made very, very rich on it. Cindy, I do want to thank you so very much for being with us tonight. Would you repeat your website once again?
Sure, it's gsfp.org.
Okay. And there's information there on how to contact you. And there's a good mission statement on there and all, and I encourage everybody to go there and read it. I think you'll find it's a wonderful site. And, Cindy, we thank you so very much for being on the program this evening.
You're welcome. And Carly's poem is on the website, too. Everybody always wants to know where they can get a copy
Yes.
of Carly's poem. And pass it along. It's a powerful, inspired poem that has inspired a lot of people to work for peace.
It is powerful indeed, and
yeah.
you thank Carly for that for us.
And thank you for reading it, Guy. I'll pass it along to her.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Cindy Sheehan from... I don't know where Cindy lives. I think she's on the East Coast right now. We're going to go to Kathy in Naples. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Guy. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question. I've never called a radio program in my life, but you're a very interesting person.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I've been listening to your arguments back and forth, and I think you may have just answered my question anyway, the purpose of why we're in Iraq. Why our government is there?
Why
are we
there?
What's it for?
Well,
it's not about Saddam. It's not about, you know, weapons.
You want to know why I think we're there?
I think it's about money.
Yes, I think money is part of it, but here's what I think.
Okay,
this is something formulated over the last couple of years for me.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of reason to back this up, and I've got a lot of people I know in Washington who have helped me back this up. I think we're not there exactly alone. I think we're not there exactly only in the interest of the United States of America. I think we're also there heavily involved in the interest of Israel. I know, and you know, we're going to talk about it with our next guest coming up a little while, connect the dots of this Israeli spy deal going on in the Pentagon. You've heard about that. We had Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, some people in the PNAC group. Have connections with Israel, and I think that Bush has got sucked into this thing, and I think it's a lot of it was to help out Sharon and to help Israel further cement their power in the Middle East, as if they needed any more power in the Middle East, because they are more than able and willing to take care of themselves. I think that had a lot to do with it.
With Israel. Okay, you don't think it has anything to do with oil?
Well, that's certainly part of it, and we're going to establish a base there as well. We're going to establish a permanent base there.
I got an email from you when you had your guest on that admitted within 10 years we could be at peak oil.
Yeah. Oh,
which
yeah.
is going to be a definite problem for this country.
Oh, it is. And, you know, there's nothing that this government wouldn't do, this present government wouldn't do to cement, you know, our power in that region and to have a presence there when peak oil comes. I don't think there's any doubt that that's part of the equation.
You know, Republican or Democrat, if peak oil is coming, I want to be sitting on top of it.
Well, do we have the right to take it from everybody else? Do we have the right to do that?
I believe we did it before.
Well, should we?
I don't know. I just want to know your feeling. If you believe this could be part of it.
I think here we sit in the most powerful...
You know it's coming.
The peak oil? Oh, absolutely. Last year was the first time in history that we've used more oil in the year than we discovered. It was the first time in peak oil.
We all want to work together and, you know...
I don't see why that with all the great things that we've done in this country that we can't...
We can't beat it.
Well, we've got to do a better job of getting ready for that.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
And I think we're sitting on our hands. I don't think America's had... I don't think we've got that energy going like it did when we went to the moon and things like that. I think we need to get busy and realize that peak oil's coming, folks.
But we don't have the feeling country anymore. We're all divided up.
Well, we are. That is for certain.
Amongst ourselves.
Yes,
so
we
what
are.
What we're doing is destroying ourselves.
Well, it's not a pleasant situation right now. It's the worst.
I just wanted your opinion on it.
Okay.
You do know about the peak oil. I'll put this Israel thing in, though. Okay.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I will.
Check it out. And
I'll
listen to Eric Margulies, our next guest. We're going to get him to talk about that. He's an expert on it.
I will listen to him, and I'll put that into the equation.
All right. Thanks.
We are definitely there for a reason.
Thanks for your call, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
Very good to hear from you. Yeah, I think that's part of the equation. And, you know, I do think, as you know, I'll just say it again, you know that I don't think Mr. Bush is the brightest bulb in the drawer. And I think it's entirely possible that he got sucked into something that he didn't... it's obvious he didn't know what the consequences were going to be. If he did know what the consequences were going to be, oh my God, he's a lot worse than I thought he was. But the consequences of this whole mess are yet to be realized, the full consequences of it. I think at the present rate... we're faced with years and years and years of never-ending terrorism. I think we've ignited a fire in that region that will not go out for a long time, and I think that every day that we're there, we're making more and more and more terrorists. That's not to say the terrorists don't have blame. My God, they certainly do. But I think we're throwing gasoline on that fire. I really do, and I think we've poured a lot of gasoline on that fire, and I wish we would not have. I think we should have found another way. We're going to have Eric Margulies on next, coming up, though, in just a few minutes after the bottom of the hour. He's got a lot to say, talking about the Downing Street minutes, and he's got something to say about this connect the dots to Israel that I want to talk about, and I want you to pay attention to that. It's important. It makes a lot of sense. And I think it's definitely part of the equation. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, hopefully we'll have Eric on the phone, and we'll have a good discussion with him, and I think you'll find it very enlightening. You're listening to The Guy James Show. We'll be right back.
The Guy James Show.
West Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Where do you go when your company needs a car, a truck, or a truck? Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center. Whatever you need, we've got it at the price no one else can beat. Right now, get new 05 F-150s for just $13,499. Yes, Ford F-150 trucks from $13,499. Plus, get the advantage of the business preferred network. So remember, when your company needs a car or truck, whether it's 2 or 50 vehicles, Sam Galloway Ford has over 600 work trucks available for immediate delivery. Flatbeds, box trucks, utility bodies, landscape dump, you name it, we've got it. Because right now, the number one Ford dealer in Florida is dealing. And with 2005 F-150s at $13,499, they will go fast. Be sure to ask for Sam Galloway Ford's Fleet and Commercial Center today. Boy Scout Drive between 41 and Summerlin, Fort Myers. Because we sell more, you will save more.
Call 800-754-1871 for details at 800-754-1871.
Like you. One of Florida's largest Sutherland Nissan boiling mad at high car prices, so we make them go away. When you pay $20,000 to $25,000 for a new Altima, that would make you mad if you knew it was only $15,988 at the King of Altima Value, Sutherland. That would make you glad.
Hold it. New Altima at Sutherland, just $15,988 stripped, right?
Wrong. Loaded stereo, CD, tilt, cruise, factory air, power everywhere. Naples, are you listening? Lehigh Acres? I'm talking to you. Sutherland turns mad to glad when all you pay today to drive your new well-equipped Altima way as little as $15,988 smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Tamiami Trail.
You serious? New 05 loaded Altima only $15,988?
Don't be mad. Get glad at Florida's true king of Altima value, Sutherland Nissan new loaded Altima, only $15,988 today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Bins 215718 and 473662. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
Home ownership is a dream come true for most people. Finding someone you trust to help you with the right mortgage is extremely important. Amy Klausner of SunTrust Mortgage is always looking for ways to say yes to you. Amy has over 16 years mortgage and banking experience and is the number one loan officer for SunTrust Bank, the number one mortgage lender in Southwest Florida. Amy can provide loans from $50,000 to $5 million to help you make a home purchase, refinance your existing home, purchase a second home, investment properties, provide alternative credit, and more. Due to her local processing, underwriting, and closing departments being at a local level, Amy can offer quick one-hour approval loan applications and rapid closings. Call Amy at 239-403-2703 or toll free at 1-866-763-0594 extension 2703 or receive an online mortgage application by emailing her at amy.klausner@suntrust.com. Catering to your needs, Amy Klausner with SunTrust Mortgage. Amy always gets the job done.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. sharp each day. Germain Toyota's Big Lot North on US 41 in Naples will sell used cars for $5 each every day. All day long, cars will be sold for $5 each. Hundreds of used cars are on sale. $14,000 cars. Now $9,000, $8,000 cars. Under $5,000. $5,000 cars. $2,000. It starts this morning at 10. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cars will be sold for only $5 each. $5 for a car. Get to Germain Toyota's Big Lot North early. Get behind the wheel during these 3 days and reserve the car of your dreams for $5. Germain Toyota's Big Lot North, US 41 in Wiggins Pass, Naples. Call your county's biggest used car retailer is selling cars for only $5. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't miss the deal of a lifetime.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
And here we are. Happy to have you with us here on the Guy James Show this evening. Great guest in this evening. We just talked to Cindy Sheehan just a few minutes ago for the Gold Star Families for Peace. An interesting talk with her. And right now, it's my pleasure to welcome Eric Margolis to the program. He's many of you have seen him on CNN and Fox and CBS News and PBS. So many places you've seen him. And, of course, he has affiliations with the International Institute of Strategic Studies in London, the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., the Institute of Regional Studies in Islamabad. He went to Foreign Service School at Georgetown, the most prestigious Foreign Service School in the world, University of Geneva, Switzerland, and New York University. A lot of people have told me they're looking forward to this interview with Eric Margolis, and I think he's sharing the state of Florida with me tonight. Eric, are you with us?
Not only am I with you, but I'm proud to be here.
Ah, well, we're glad to have you. You normally reside in Toronto?
Well, I do indeed, even though I'm a transplanted New Yorker, but I also have a place here in Florida fairly recently, so I count myself a neighbor.
Well, you're just across the alley from us, and it's good to have you here in this area.
Thank you.
I shouldn't say this to an interviewee, but I've been a fan of your writings for a long, long time. You always make a lot of sense. That's something a lot of people don't do. You've got to look for the meaning in a lot of people's stories and writings, and yours is just always full of good common sense, and I want to thank you for that. And the reason I ask you to come on the program tonight, as you know, this whole country is a buzz, not enough to suit me, but the whole country is a buzz right now about the Downing Street, and I call them the Downing Street Minutes memo. And you wrote a particularly interesting story about that this past week. Where do you think this story is going about the Downing Street Minutes in your crystal ball?
I'm afraid that this bombshell of a story, and it really is, because it confirms absolutely, irrevocably, the duplicity, the dishonesty of the Bush administration over Iraq, and the calculation to start a phony war. But I'm afraid that these memos, which are authentic memos that leaked out of the Prime Minister's office in London, are going to be more or less suppressed or pushed into the background, first by a ferocious Republican counterattack, and secondly by the disgraceful lack of interest or downplaying of this information by the mainstream media.
Well, Eric, I saw that poll on MSNBC. About 94% of the people now believe that Bush misled us in going into the war, and yet there's still a goodly number supporting him. I find that just absolutely appalling. That's an interesting comparison there. 94% said he misled it, and yet that shows that a lot of people are willing to overlook it.
Well, people often ask me when I travel abroad, I just got back from Europe, and people say, what's the matter with Americans? Why don't you Americans, why aren't you angry? Why don't Americans get furious and say, listen, we were lied to, we were deceived into a war, Americans are being killed in a war that need not have happened. The only explanation I have is that we have become so brain dead by TV, people are so preoccupied with the Michael Jackson trial, and the lingering effects of 9/11 have somehow numbed us to any kind of unethical or outrageous behavior by our governments.
So we're just suffering a malaise that do you think is going to go on forever? Will we ever snap out of this?
I certainly hope so. I've never seen such a mentally lethargic period in my own long life in the U.S. But, again, the mainstream media in this country, thank goodness for shows like yours, the mainstream media is lulling people to sleep.
Well, there's been damn little of this on mainstream media. They just started to pick it up this weekend, but that's the problem this weekend, off the news cycle. How did this story first come to your attention?
The story came the London Times, a very reputable newspaper, and in fact it's owned by Rupert Murdoch, who's the man behind Fox News. But the Times broke the story, and what they got a series of memos from the British cabinet that were the British, the Blair government did not say that they were anything but authentic, so they confirmed their authenticity. A series of 8 memos gradually leaked out, and they showed that 8 months before the U.S. went to war in Iraq, that the British, the head of Britain's Foreign Intelligence Service, MI6, named Dearlove, had come back from Washington, and he said, and he told Tony Blair, look, President Bush has decided on war. They're going to attack Iraq, and they are going to make the intelligence information suit their political policy. In other words, they're going to cook the intelligence information to justify a war against Iraq. Do we want to join the Americans? The answer was yes. And we will then create the political climate in England, as they will in America, to whip people up into war fever. That is the essence of those memos.
Well, you know, Eric, we had a caller earlier this evening who, you know, they like to rub it in and say, well, John Kerry voted for this war, too. Was our Congress bamboozled by this whole thing, by this intelligence?
Not entirely bamboozled, because we have intelligent members of Congress, even though it doesn't appear so all the time. Well, they weren't bamboozled. They were cowardly. And they were frightened of opposing war fever in the United States. They were, and so was the media, by the way. They were frightened of being accused of being unpatriotic. When the White House accused various Democratic senators and congressmen of being unpatriotic, it shut them right up. And there was such a lust for war in the United States created by the press and by 9/11. So these people were cowardly. They didn't want to antagonize important voter constituencies that were pro-war. They just backed down and they acted, as I said in my Sunday column, they clapped like trained seals.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think a lot of them now are rueing the day that they went along with this. But, you know, it was political expediency at the time. And, you know, that word traitors and un-American, all that was flying around hot and heavy at that time.
Oh, tell me about it, because I was getting hundreds of emails every day accusing me of the most disgusting things, of being a traitor, anti-American. Me, an Army veteran who enlisted in the U.S. Army during Vietnam, was accused of being a traitor and a coward, and et cetera, for daring oppose this rush to war.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that going on. It didn't matter who you were. The voices from the right were so strong on this that they literally shouted down everybody who opposed this whatsoever. You know, I think a lot of us, Eric, wanted to take a little more time, and you know, my friend Scott Ritter, we talked to him quite a little bit before this started, and he wanted to, you know, he wanted to take more time, make sure what we were doing was right. But no, we were in this rush to war, and God help anybody who stood in the way.
Well, exactly right. There was no reason for going to war either. It was a completely concocted, illegal war, and there was no reason for the war except that neoconservatives who had hijacked policy in Washington were determined to destroy Iraq, and that's exactly what happened.
Let me ask you a question that I find so interesting. You said, talked about Rupert Murdoch and the London Times. How is it that the London Times has the freedom to open up this can of worms, and yet Fox in this country doesn't say a word about it?
Because the British press has a much longer and sturdier tradition of editorial freedom, where editors can publish things that are contrary to the views of their owners. And this is exactly what happened. Also, because the climate in England, the British public had become disgusted with the incessant lies of Tony Blair and prevarications. And so the press was able to go after him, whereas in the United States, the American public was still reeling over 9/11, and the president went from being a political figure to being a semi-religious figure whom no one dared attack. You know, I just wanted to add that the World Trade Center was not the only thing destroyed by the 9/11 attack. Our three-armed government, that is the Congress, the courts, and the presidency, was also destroyed because Congress was completely paralyzed and it failed totally in its duties to the American people.
Indeed. Indeed, I agree. We're ending up giving up some of our freedoms over this. It is as though America was paralyzed for a while over it. And I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know when America's going to get their backs up again about this sort of thing. I wanted to ask you, someone called and asked me for my opinion on why we're in Iraq right now, and I told them earlier, and some of it has to do with a story you wrote back on September the 6th, 2004. Do you think that this run-up to war had anything to do with the Israeli spy scandal, and is there a connection there?
Well, yes, there is. Israel long regarded Iraq as a potential enemy because it had the industrial and scientific know-how to eventually make a nuclear weapon, which might threaten Israel's nuclear monopoly in the Middle East. Therefore, Israel made it a primary foreign policy goal to get the United States to go and to really take apart Iraq so it would never be a nuclear threat to the Israelis. And it got its partisans in the United States to mount a very successful campaign to drive the U.S. into a war against Iraq. That was one of the reasons. The other half of it, or three quarters of it, was the lust for oil on the part of the administration. Iraq has the Middle East's second biggest oil reserves. It was going to become America's Saudi Arabia.
Do you think we're going to have a forever and ever presence in Iraq the way it looks right now?
As far as the neoconservatives are concerned, yes. I think they see America running the Middle East and probably Saudi Arabia too indefinitely, as well as Afghanistan. Oil politics. However, I think we've already lost the war in Iraq. Our army is being ground down. It's costing us $5.5 to $6 billion a month. $300 billion year to date for Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're going to run out of money, we're going to run out of men, and the American public is finally going to say, enough of this tar baby, let's get out.
It appears that some of our congressmen are starting, even the people on the right, are starting to look at it that way and maybe think of their own heads for this next midterm election, and it looks like some of them are going to bail right now.
Well, these people are following public opinion, and the American media, too. Once they see public opinion strongly changing against the war, you're going to get more and more anti-war stories.
Let me ask you, people involved I should have asked you this before, this connecting the dots with the Israeli people. Paul Wolfowitz. How much is he involved in that whole thing, connecting the dots with this?
Enormously. He was one of the architects of the Iraq war, and Wolfowitz is one of the key commissars, as I call him, of the neoconservative far-rightists. He and a group of think tanks in Washington, Project for the New American Century, the Heritage Foundation, the Jewish Institute for Near Eastern Affairs, and a group of all associated with Israel's far-right wing. And let me not say this is not a Jewish conspiracy, because a majority of Jewish Americans were against this war, but it was certainly a cabal of far, far-rightists associated to the Likud party who had been pressing for the last 10 years for this war, and it was a very carefully planned campaign. They latched on to George Bush at an early stage, and have become the dominant driving force in his foreign policy.
When do you think that it became enormously important for George Bush in his mind to get into Iraq?
I think when this very unlettered, poorly educated man took a trip to Israel. I think it was sometime in the late mid-1980s, and Ariel Sharon flew him around in a helicopter. And he got the standard story from the Israelis, a very effective one. He became completely pro-Israeli, pro-Likud Israeli, I should say, and fell under the influence of the neoconservatives.
While his father was president.
Yes, and it's an interesting split between the two of them, to the point where, Bush Sr.'s, first President Bush's, National Security Advisor General Brent Scowcroft, a great American patriot, actually went public and said that George Bush is wrapped around Ariel Sharon's little finger. and that the Israelis were had unacceptable influence over American foreign policy in the Middle East. Well, I mean, for General Scowcroft to say this is a bombshell. It's also a fact.
Why do they have that kind of power over me? I want to formulate this question just right. Why does Israel, aside from showing Bush around in a helicopter around and getting him involved to be thinking toward the right of the Likud, and I don't think a lot of Americans understand just how far right the Likud party is, why does Israel have this kind of influence? How do they have this kind of influence?
Well, because the Israelis have worked very, and their supporters in the United States have worked very, very diligently for a very long time and spent a great deal of money on a single issue, and that is support of Israel. And they are probably after the American Medical Association, the most powerful lobby in Washington, and I take my hat off to them. I mean, it's said the three most powerful lobbies in Washington after the doctors are the Israel lobby, the Armenian lobby, and the Greek lobby. And they're all ethnic lobbies who've done their homework and are very, very smart in what they do. And Congress is terrified of them because nobody wants to oppose anything that the lobby proposes because they'll get a huge amount of static. No journalist wants to write against them because they'll get static, too. So there's no benefit whatsoever for anybody to oppose them.
Why isn't there more outrage on the part of the public, or is it just kept so quiet in the press and in Washington about this spy business with Israeli spies?
Because the latest Israeli spy story is because the media once again has downplayed it. The story has been very poorly explained, and it still remains quite murky, and there's a huge effort behind the scenes to sort of dampen down this latest fire and push it into the background.
How do you hear about a huge effort behind the scenes? What are the giveaways when you hear that that's going on?
Well, I see what different organizations who have an interest in the story are doing to poo-poo the story and say it's not important and it's just a minor affair and it was a misunderstanding. I have my ears open in Washington.
We saw, all of a sudden, I've lost his name, our press secretary at the White House, Scott McClellan.
McConnell.
All of a sudden, somebody asked him a question about the Downing Street memos, and he came out and said, I believe his exact words were, well, it's been completely discredited.
Yes, it has, by the Bush White House, but not by anybody else. And he said something which I found even more outrageous. He said, well, it's old news.
Yeah.
You know, well, tell the 140-odd thousand American soldiers who are stuck in this abominable war in Iraq that they're involved in an old news story.
Right.
It's not old news.
No, certainly not. But they've done everything they can to shovel it under the table. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, the bloggers are hard at work on this one, and it's going to be interesting to see if this story gets any legs up this week. I think if it doesn't this week, it may be dead.
We thank goodness for the Internet.
Yes.
And talk radio. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear about any of this.
Well, there's darn little of liberal talk radio in this liberal-controlled media, you know. I love that when I always hear about this.
But the pendulum will swing one day back. Right now, a lot of our media reminds me of the old Soviet media when I used to spend in the late 1980s in the Soviet Union. Self-censorship. Following the party line, careerism, and hand-licking in the extreme.
Oh, my. Oh, that, you're so encouraging, Eric. Eric, I want to thank you so much for being on the program tonight. You, in a short amount of time, have covered a lot of ground and give a lot of people something to think about. And we hope you'll consider coming back with us sometime. And welcome to Florida.
Thank you. It'd be my pleasure. All you have to do now is get some sunshine out, please.
Oh, well, tomorrow. You'll get it tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Eric McLeese, it is so good to hear from him. I guess what he doesn't know about these memos isn't worth knowing. And believe me, he could go on and on and on and on for a good long time explaining every last detail to it. It is very, very interesting. And if you want to... I'm trying to look for the website for some of his things here. I'll get that to you in just a little while. Everything I've got here doesn't have the website. It's the Toronto Sun where you can go. Eric Margulies. Okay, Eric. Okay, it's simple enough. www.ericmargulies.com. Eric Margulies, and he hates it when you call him Margolis, so don't do that. Eric Margulies, www.ericmargulies, MARGOLIS.com, and you will find that this man is one of the best, really enlightening. And like I said, School of Foreign Service in Georgetown, University of Geneva, New York University, is an American. Had a lot to say about these minutes, these memos. Let's see, we got time. Yeah, we got time. We're going to go to Bill. Bill's back with us from Ohio. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, Guy. First of all, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you, and same to you, sir, if you're so inclined.
And second of all, I want to mention, before I get to CoinGate, that another Democrat's going to get kicked off the air. Head on with Bob Kincaid. His last show, I talked to him on Friday, is going to be on June the 30th.
Why?
He's too far out to the left. It's
he's up in West Virginia, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the little town he's from up in West Virginia. It's in southern West Virginia, right off of...
I told him, you know, he's got a... it was nice because it was a 7 to 10 p.m. Weekdays, 5 days a week. And then, of course, I'd go to you on Saturday. But now he's his last show will be on the 30th.
The station he's on, do they have right-wing stuff all day long?
They have plenty of it.
You know what's happening? And if we have to wait and go through the break, if that's all right with you, if we get killed for time here. Here's what's happening. And I know this, okay? There are many stations around this country who have just nonstop right-wing talk. And let's face it, let's be honest about it. That's what's paying the bills at the radio stations right now. There's enormous profit involved. A radio station gets a guy like Limbaugh on who has all the listeners that he has. He's a breadwinner, and a lot of them are hiring consultants now, and the consultants are come in and say, here's what you do. You've got Limbaugh on, you've got Hannity on, you mold and shape the rest of your programming around that because you want to appeal to the Limbaugh and Hannity audience, and you want to appeal to them all the time, all day long, so that when they tune into your station, they've got something that perks up their ears that they
agree
with.
No diversity, right, guys?
No. Diversity is out the window. And it's strictly bottom line. That's all it's about. That's all it's about. And forget serving the community anymore. Forget any of that. It's about the bottom line. And that is what's happening all over this country now. If I've been trying to tell, I've been trying to tell my listeners, and I know all of us out here in the bushes are telling our listeners, hey, folks, it's going to get worse before it gets better, and it is getting worse, and Bob can testify to that.
Listen, that caller that called in, about your fifth caller, he called in and asked you, he said, who were the people who were flying those planes that hit the World Trade Center? Now, Bob, answer me that question. A guy, he was the same caller, exact same caller, who called in on the Bob Kincaid show on Friday night and asked the exact same question and put the exact same question to Bob Kincaid and went through, this is why we should be in Iraq. And it's for, you know, you just know that these people... they can get through to our shows.
Sure.
But you tried to take and get through to, which I would never do anyway because I know it would be a waste of time, but try to get through to one of their right-wing shows, and it's an impossibility. You guys beg for them to call.
Sure.
Because you have the facts, you have the truth, and they have neither of one.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that about Bob. I really am. I've listened to some of Bob's shows and on White Rose Society and other places, and we're going to miss him. He's one of the fraternity. I don't know him, but this is a small fraternity, as you well know, Bill. There are not many members in it. And, you know, we're going to take a break here in about 30 seconds, and if you will, I'd like you to hang on. And
Oh, I sure wish I could, because I have two things I'd like to talk to you
about. Well, yeah, we want to... We've got a full last hour coming up, but we want to talk about good old Governor Taft's mess going on up in Ohio. And
oh, boy, I got some advice for you, and you have to take it, Guy. Listen, I don't want you to get in any trouble in Florida, and this is serious, so I got some serious advice to give to you.
Okay, okay. We'll look forward to it after the top of the hour. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You're listening to the Guy James Show at Wink WNOG, Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. We'll be right back, and don't you go anywhere.
And proud of it, Guy James.
Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Focus on the suspects. A Reuben police arresting a fourth suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway.
His name, 26-year-old Steve Cruz, still being interrogated by police right now.
Fox's Julie Banderas tells us the other three suspects will be held for 8 more days and are being transferred to a prison.
One of the Calpo brothers, we should say Deepak Calpo, in fact, has been taken off to prison. He was taken over there yesterday. He'll be joined by the other two suspects already in custody.
Holloway disappeared at the end of last month. He was last seen wearing a sweatshirt, shorts, and tennis shoes. Rescue crews searching for a missing Boy Scout in Utah. The 11-year-old boy vanished during an outdoor trip overnight east of Park City. A 12-year-old scout also disappearing was never found in that same area last year. Should they stay or should they go? The White House says setting a timeline for withdrawing American troops from Iraq would send the wrong message to terrorists. President Bush addressing the issue in his weekly radio address. Fox's Steve Santani has more.
The president saying today the insurgents would like nothing better than to see Americans leave before Iraq has a chance to prove what an elected government can do for its people.
We're fighting a ruthless enemy that relishes the killing of innocent men, women, and children. By making their stand in Iraq, the terrorists have made Iraq a vital test for the future security of our country and the free world. We will settle for nothing less than victory.
Moderate Republicans called on Mr. Bush this week to announce some kind of exit strategy and begin pulling troops out of Iraq by October of next year.
And in Iraq, Operation Spear taking out 50 terrorists near the Syrian border. The U.S.-Iraqi offensive has also destroyed dozens of buildings as troops rounded up around 100 other terrorists. Operation Dagger was just launched today, targeting terror training camps. You're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Your children are so precious. You'd do anything to protect them. Build fences, install security systems, even move to a safer neighborhood. When your children are at home, you think they're safe, but are they? What about the internet? Have you taught them to protect themselves online? Make internet safety a family concern. Visit www.netsmarts.org.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group, hosts a talk show all about money on Wink WNOG every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. There you can find out information about their free financial physicals. The free financial physical will review your goals, needs, and objectives. Call in each Saturday morning at 10 and have your investment questions answered. All About Money and Investing, hosted by Richard Brown, president of Brown & Hawk Financial Group. Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1240 and 1270, Wink WNOG.
Have questions about your car? Want to know the latest trends in the automobile industry? Or just want to talk car talk? Well, tune in to Wink WNOG's Car Clinic Show every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Hosted by legendary automobile guru John Nocera for the last 20 years. John will take your calls and answer your questions on just about anything. Give him a call, tune in, and enjoy Dr. Johnny's perspective Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. only here on Wink WNOG.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
All righty, here we are in the last hour of the program. Where does the time go? I say that every week. I know I do. My goodness. Somebody asked me the other day, why is right-wing radio so popular? It's easy. It really is easy. And let me tell you why it's so popular. You got all these people out here listening, and they're different than we liberals are. Boy, are they. I think the right-wing radio fortifies the beliefs of so many people that listen to it. For example, if you're a racist, for example, and you listen to some of the right-wing radio, rhetoric on the radio, they back you up. They let you know that your beliefs that against minorities and however you feel about people, about your bigotry of your feelings about other religion and races and so forth. If you feel that way, a Limbaugh or a Hannity, they will back you up and let you fortify your feelings that yeah, I'm right on this. They've got somebody on the radio preaching it to them and say yeah, I'm right. And I'm going to tune in every day, and I'm going to hear this validated. I'm going to hear my racist views, my bigoted views. I'm going to hear them validated every single day. And then we've got your me people that I'm always talking about on the right, the people that are out for themselves. I always said that the conservatives are the me people, and the liberals are the we people. We're for we, and they're for me. You're selfish and you want everything for yourself and you want the tax cuts for the rich and all that sort of thing. You've got a Limbaugh or a Hannity every day validating your, so that you don't, you don't subconsciously start thinking that it's wrong. It's a, here's a guy saying, well, that's absolutely right. So I'm okay. And then you got your power hungry people. That, the right-wing people that want to take over the world and imperialists and all that, and here you've got your right-wingers on there validating that every day. So that's why it's popular. People tune in to have their, some of their sorry things, I don't know where that came from, have those things validated every day. Can we get that off of there? Okay. No. All right. That's why they listen. And they tune in, day out, 24/7, and they want to know that I'm okay, you're okay. And that's exactly what old Rush is telling them. I think we might have lost Bill. Bill, call us back. I'm sure he will. Bill, I'm sorry. Little gremlins in the building here tonight. That's all it is. Nothing anybody did. It was a gremlin. I know it was. We're going to have Bill call in and talk to us about Ohio. Because, folks, there's some problems in Ohio. And I said earlier tonight, we're getting Bill back on the line. I said earlier tonight that John Kerry should be in the White House. And I'm going to have Bill tell you why I'm going to have Bill tell you why John Kerry should be and could be in the White House, because we had some shenanigans go on in Ohio concerning a little matter of $235 million that came up missing that the voters didn't know about. Bill, do you know anything about that?
Well, yes, I sure. Of course, you know, I know all about it because I've done a lot of research on it. But with not the facts in front of me, but just off the top of my head, that MDL Capital Management, that fund that they had that they were working where they lost that, that was a hedge fund that was in Bermuda. And the time that they found out about it, they were able to salvage a $10 million out of the, I believe it was $225 million fund.
Mm.
And, of course, it didn't come out before the election.
This all happened before the election, right?
Because Taft said that no one had mentioned it to him.
Yeah.
For some reason, a big loss like that, it just never got to his desk.
So here we are, we're running the Workers' Compensation Fund, and they send it over to these people over at Pittsburgh, I believe is where they're from, out of.
That's correct.
$235 million, and they lose it all but $10 million.
They did get the $10 million back.
Well, that's real good. And so they only lost $225 million. And so they, the underlings at the Workers' Comp Bureau, they get a hold of the people in the governor's staff and say, hey, I don't know, you know, I don't know whether how to mention this or not, but we lost $225 million. Oh, God, no, don't say that to anybody.
Yeah. You know what it is what do they call it, deniable culpability?
Yeah.
Don't tell me that. They come up to you and say, listen, I'd like to talk to you about, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, plausible deniability. That's
thank you very much,
yes,
guy.
Indeed.
Well, listen, the advice I had for you, Guy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're coming from, say you're coming out of Walmart.
Yeah. Which let me tell you, pal, you're not going to see that happen anytime soon.
Oh, excuse me. Let's see. Maybe I should say, Winn-Dixie or Kroger's. No, I didn't think you would be coming out of any Walmart.
Publix is my grocery store here.
You've got a grocery, a sack of groceries, and you're walking to your car, Guy.
Uh-huh.
And a man walks up to you and says, and he don't know you.
Wait, we lose him again? Did we lose him again? Oh, for crying out loud. I think that's something on Bill's end there with his phone. Ah, gosh. Bill, we'll try and get this going again. Doggone it, we're going to get the story told sooner or later. I don't know what happened there. Right now, we're going to go up to the beautiful Badger State in Wisconsin, and we're going to talk to some folks up there. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell you who they are and why they're here, because they do a better job of it than I do. Roger, are you with us?
You bet, and so is my wife, Carolyn Winter. I'm Roger Bybee. I've been a longtime journalist and activist for progressive causes, especially labor. And my wife has been...
Yes, I can introduce myself. I'm Carolyn Winter, and I've been active in the movement since the 60s, so I have a long history. I currently work at a community agency, but, I mean, I think the main thing I have to contribute here is... And we've been doing some... We've both been running together some.
All right. Good. We were going to talk tonight a little bit. I know you've been an activist for a long, long time. What's your feelings right now about these Downing Street minutes?
Absolutely unbelievable. They're an incredible development, just incredibly important. I say two quick things about them. First of all, it shows the big barriers that we have to democracy in our society. When you just think about how Republican-dominated government is, that they could even try to prevent John Conyers from getting a hearing room so that important questions could be asked. Then you think about the complicit media mocking the hearing the way the Wall Street Journal did. I mean, it used to be the Washington Post did. So the barriers have really come through.
Wait, I'd like to say something here. It seems to me that, at first I was so shocked that, that the media didn't cover this, because it took almost 2 months till they covered it. But I think the important thing is that unless someone registers a protest, things don't get covered. The media aren't going to cover it themselves. And I think it points to the fact that in this country, and I noticed you asked the guy that spoke before us why it was different in England. And I think one of the reasons it was different in England is that there's a much bigger range of political opinion in England. So there are people that are pushing a more left agenda. And in this country, when the Democrats are so limp and they're not pushing a left agenda, there's no one there that forces them to cover it.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. It was good to hear from Eric about that, too. I wanted to press him. We were pressed for time, but I wanted to hear a little bit more about what's going on overseas, about the perception of America right now, which I think the perception of America right now is not what it ought to be.
No, absolutely not. And it is not the perception of our own country among our fellow citizens that this is not an America that we recognize when we see the kind of incursions on our liberties, when we see the kind of intimidation of those who dissent, when we see the kind of raw profiteering that's going on.
But, I think that the view of America, by appointing someone like or nominating someone like Bolton to be the person in the United Nations, it's so in your face to the rest of the world. And now, last week, the United States is being so into tearing down the UN. They want to withhold funding for the United Nations. We're so in the face of the rest of the world. It's like saying, we're just going to use our power unilaterally. And I think that the Democrats have got to come up with an alternative policy, because I don't think most people really understand what is a Democrat's opposition to the Republican policy. I mean, are you clear on that?
Well, absolutely. And somebody brought up something frightening on last week's program. In hindsight,
could you talk just a little louder?
No, I really can't. I wonder. I don't know, Ron. Can we talk a little louder? I don't know what the problem is.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. You're listening on the phone? Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. The thing is, we had somebody call last week, and I don't know the age of either one of you. I got a feeling you might be in my range. I'm not sure.
We're old.
Well, I am.
We're approaching middle age.
Okay. You remember the Cuban Missile Crisis very well.
Right.
Absolutely, very good.
So do I. Can you imagine, one of our callers asked last week, can you imagine if John Bolton had been our UN ambassador at that time? The possible consequences of that.
Right, and we are at a really fragile time when there's genuine threats to be unraveled with North Korea, with Iran, with Syria, and certainly the U.S. has done in every case as much as possible to heat things up and make them harder to solve. But now imagine somebody like John Bolton going in as a kiss up, kick down kind of guy, who the ultimate anti diplomat. It's very scary.
What I feel is that that we don't have the ability to say the emperor is wearing no clothes. That when Bolton was nominated, people should have just said, you've got to be kidding. It's like by being so I have an expression, praising with faint damn, instead of damning with faint praise, praising with faint damn, because, we so under-respond to something. Here they pick a guy that's just a nightmare, and they couldn't even conjure up a guy worse than Bolton.
Hey, Carol, are you on a remote phone?
What?
Are you on a remote phone? We're having a little trouble picking you up sometimes there. You're
I'm not. I am. Well, I'll get off then.
Okay.
I'll let you see if it works better if you just speak to Roger.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to get rid of either one of you, but I just noticed the remote phone was causing a lot of interference there. Where do you think this is going, Roger? What does it look like to you right now with the apathy and all that's going on in America? What's wrong with America right now?
Well, I think that clearly we have some very scary developments going on, an incredible polarization of wealth and income facilitated by the Bush administration, and we also have very scary developments about democracy, because we really are headed toward one-party domination of all three branches of government. In Congress, in the House, the Democrats can't even amend bills about 85% of the time, according to the Boston Globe. John Conyers had a hard time getting a hearing room for the hearing on the Downing Street memo, so the Democrats are really shut out of power. And that's been the attitude from the top down from the Bush administration about shutting out dissident voices and really suppressing and demonizing dissent. But yet at the same time, and that's very frightening, very discouraging, but then at the same time, we know that there's a majority who think the war was the wrong thing to do. There's a three-quarters of the people oppose the Central American Free Trade Agreement, which is really a jobs outsourcing agreement. 62% of the people want a national health care plan, basically along the lines of Canada's. So we know that the majority of the people are with or for a progressive direction. I think a big problem is that so many people feel that they're alone. They hear the right-wing talk radio and Fox News, and they don't recognize that there's other Americans who have the same cravings toward a decent society that they do.
Yes, yes, indeed. And it's hard to get the right message right now. No matter where you turn, there's right-wing rhetoric going on, and it's, you know, the millions of listeners that listen to this right-wing mess every day. Every day, the influence that they have is frightening to me, and I don't know if we're making any serious inroads into putting a stop to it.
Well, I think the stakes are too high to feel despair, and we really are at a kind of cutting edge sort of moment in our society about what direction we move toward. If we really move further in the direction of an America that's really much less democratic, with a small D, and much more of a plutocracy or an oligarchy, and certainly a very warlike state that's an empire permanently engaged in war all over the globe, or at the same time, we know what the basic sentiments of most Americans are. They have to be fooled in order to be enthusiastic about a war, and once they realize they've been fooled, they don't want to be fooled again, and they have cravings for a society where everybody has health care, everybody has a secure retirement. So I think we're at a very unique and decisive moment, and I frankly find it somewhat heartening that it was grassroots activity that got the Downing Street memo covered, and it hasn't been covered with the respect and importance that it's been due by the establishment media. When you read the comments of people like Dana Milbank and the Washington Post or Andrea Mitchell on NBC, but at the same time, we do have the means to get the word out to grassroots citizens, and I think we can begin to turn the debate around.
Well, it's critical. It's critical that we do it, and we're at a critical time right now. Roger and Carol, I'd like to have you both back on soon.
We'd love to do it.
We had a program tonight that was just chock so full of things that we couldn't give you enough time.
We heard your show for the first time, and it was really insightful, and my heart heart goes out to Cindy Sheehan and so many others like her. But she was really articulate and really inspiring and really give folks like us the reason to keep up the fight.
In fact, she was, and I'll get in touch with you this week. We'll have you back on again soon because you're both full of knowledge and talk about a lot of things that we like to talk about on this program. And I want to thank you for being on this evening. I apologize for having the schedule so full tonight, but it just couldn't be avoided.
Well, there was some great stuff. So,
Roger and Carol, we thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye now. Those folks are extremely knowledgeable about all the grassroots problems going on in this America right now. Right now, we're going to make a heroic effort. Are we ready for this, Ron? We're going to make a heroic effort now to go back and talk to Bill, and we're going to get this Ohio story in one way or another. Are you there, Bill?
Once again, good evening, Guy.
Third time's a charm, Bill.
Okay, now listen, Guy. If you're walking your car, you got a bag of groceries, and someone comes up to you and says, Guy, or they don't know you, and they say, listen, I have a deal, and I have a $300 case of wine here, and I'm willing to sell it to you for $65. Are you interested? Listen, Guy, do not buy it. Because you would be accepting stolen property.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, right. Because that wine that they, when they went to that Mr. Storn's house out in Denver, Colorado, who was involved with Noe and these coins, there was so much wine there, $350,000 worth of wine, that they just put their own locks on it. And then, of course, Mr. Storm went on vacation. They were there 12 hours loading stuff out of his house, but they couldn't get all the wine.
They being, explain who they is.
So they left it there. Well, anyway, about 10 or 12 days later while he was on vacation, someone come and stole all the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you buying no wine there in Florida because, you know, Noe's, he's down, I think he's in the Keys. So whether that wine got down to him or not, I know it was bought with the money from, they said they had credit card receipts that linked it to the Bureau of Workman's Compensation money. So,
well, I don't think I'll be buying any coins from Noe anytime soon either.
No, listen, and while I got you on the phone, Guy, one last thing, why we went to war. I believe you know, or you heard, that Bush talked to one of his friends, and he said he was going to be a commander-in-chief and not squander his political capital like his father did.
That's right. That's right. Yes,
and I believe it was during one of the debates when they were talking, and they were talking about the lockbox on Social Security. Of course, he said the only way they would go into that lockbox is if, and one of the, I think the last things he says, if, God forbid, this country would ever go to war. This war was planned a long, long time before the year 2000. It was, I believe it was in the planning stage in 1996, 98, somewhere along there. And once they rigged these elections in Ohio, which these elections were definitely rigged, I don't know anybody who would not believe that.
Yeah, that's right. Bill, thanks so much. Thanks for your patience. I'm glad we got you back on tonight.
All right. Listen, it was sure great. And anybody who wants to listen to the John Connors show again, go to clearinghouse.com, and it's on there because I listened to it once again this afternoon.
Good. Good. You're very informative. Thank you.
All right. Listen, and have a happy Father's Day tomorrow. And it was great talking to you, Guy.
Thank you. Okay. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Hey, really quickly before the bottom of the hour, and we got Republican love coming up, folks. Call all your neighbors. We got some good Republican love tonight. I got this letter here. I don't know how I ended up with a copy of it, but it's to Sean Hannity. And somehow I intercepted a copy of it, and it's written by somebody called, well, you can find this, and And here you go. I'm just gonna say it. This blogspot, professorsmartass.blogspot.com. Okay, that's professorsmartass.blogspot.com, and he's known as your bud, Y-U-R-B-U-D, your bud on Democratic Underground, along with all of our other friends, Democratic Underground, the best, most informative website there is anywhere. But this letter that I intercepted, it's to Sean Hannity, and I'm going to read it. It says, Sean, since you didn't serve in the military, it's understandable that you didn't understand what Dick Durbin was saying. He was not blaming the troops, but rather the civilians in the White House who wrote the torture policy. And when it was publicized, the White House blamed the troops who followed their orders and called them a few bad apples. Remember that, folks? Mm-hmm. The Bush administration does the same thing when it's time to provide benefits to the soldiers who were crippled for life and emotionally traumatized by their war of choice. They cut VA funding to preserve their tax cuts for their wealthy friends. Now, I know you just do your job for money, but I can see why you would identify with a dress-up cowboy like Bush. You both like to shoot off your mouth and talk tough, but when you were young enough to be in harm's way, you stayed far from the front lines like the blank little poser that you are. You are no more a man because you talk tough than George Bush is a pilot because he puts on a jumpsuit, or a cowboy because he puts on a hat. You may have noticed the ratings of your whole network declining lately as people realize that you have lied to them intentionally and repeatedly. I hope you've been doing your Kegel exercises because you probably have to go back to your job as a male prostitute pretty soon like Jeff Gannon. Sincerely, Mom. That's a letter I intercepted that was on the way to Sean Hannity there, so I hope Sean doesn't mind me reading his mail. Hey, we're going to stop for the bottom of the hour. When I come back, we're going to have a little Republican love, so you don't want to miss that. Don't go away.
James Show.
And traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. sharp each day, Germain Toyota's Big Lot North on US 41 in Naples will sell used cars for $5 each every day, all day long. Cars will be sold for $5 each. Hundreds of used cars are on sale. $14,000 cars. Now $9,000, $8,000 cars. Under $5,000. $5,000 cars. $2,000. It starts this morning at 10. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cars will be sold for only $5 each. $5 for a car. Get to Germain Toyota's Big Lot North early. Get behind the wheel during these 3 days and reserve the car of your dreams for $5. Germain Toyota. Big Lot North, US 41 in Wiggins Pass, Naples. Call your county's biggest used car retailer is selling cars for only $5. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Don't miss the deal of a lifetime.
When there's a hurricane, getting accurate information fast can mean the difference between life and death. Last year, Southwest Florida depended on the Wink News team for full, up-to-the-minute hurricane information. From the first call,
moving towards the Southwest Florida coastline,
throughout the storm until the danger was passed. This hurricane season depends on the Wink News team to keep you on top of alerts, evacuation orders, and the information you need to protect your family. Trust Wink News. Southwest Florida's Hurricane Central.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
Homeownership is a dream come true for most people. Finding someone you trust to help you with the right mortgage is extremely important. Amy Klausner of SunTrust Mortgage is always looking for ways to say yes to you. Amy has over 16 years mortgage and banking experience and is the number one loan officer for SunTrust Bank, the number one mortgage lender in Southwest Florida. Amy can provide loans from $50,000 to $5 million to help you make a home purchase, refinance your existing home, purchase a second home, investment properties, provide alternative credit, and more. more. Due to her local processing, underwriting, and closing departments being at a local level, Amy can offer quick one-hour approval loan applications and rapid closings. Call Amy at 239-403-2703 or toll-free at 1-866-763-0594, extension 2703. Or receive an online mortgage application by emailing her at amy.klausner@suntrust.com. Catering to your needs, Amy Klausner with SunTrust Mortgage. Amy always gets the job done.
Jeep makes a great SUV, and Bob Taylor Jeep makes a great deal. Right now, buy new 05 Jeep Liberties at invoice price. Plus, keep the $1,500 rebate and get 0% 60-month financing. Or drive the luxurious and capable Grand Cherokee for only $269 a month. Even rugged 05 Jeep Wranglers with four-wheel drive are just $16,690 at Bob Taylor Jeep in Naples. Get a great SUV. Get a great deal. Get to Bob Taylor Jeep and get the guaranteed lowest price, because if you find a lower price, we'll beat it or pay you $1,000. Liberties at invoice. Plus, you keep the $1,500 rebate and finance at 0% for 5 full years. Luxurious and capable Grand Cherokees, just $269 a month. And rugged 05 Jeep Wranglers with four-wheel drive, just $16,690. Right now at Bob Taylor Jeep, just north of Pine Ridge on Airport Road in Naples. See the Naples Daily News for details.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Ah, yes, the time's a flying tonight. Don't know where it's all gone, but we're going to get back to the phones here in just a moment. I do want to let all of you know that this is a donor-supported program, okay? And we need your help with it. We really do. We need your help with it. It costs money to stay on the air. And the sponsors you hear in this program are not sponsors of this program. We depend on your help to get the job done. And if you would like to send a donation to the program, help keep us on the air, 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. That's 12870 Tradeway 4, number 108, Bonita Springs, Florida, 34135. Or you can go donate by PayPal at www.theguyjamesshow.com. And we also have a new feature this week. You can donate on the Amazon Honor System. It's on there as well. So please do. I'm going to take one call, I think, here right before we get to Republican Love, and then we'll finish the rest of the calls after that. I'm going to go to Fred in Fort Myers. Hi, Fred.
How you doing, Guy?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you about your view on these prisoner abuse dealings that are going on. It just seems funny to me. You seem like you're on the wrong side there. I mean, you're so worried about, you know, these prisoners.
What makes you think I'm on the wrong side? Do you think you're in the majority?
Well, it doesn't matter. Well, I have my opinion, you have yours.
You said I'm on the wrong side. Are you in the majority?
Well, can I explain myself?
Yeah, but I would like you to explain. You said I'm on the wrong side. Are you in the majority?
Let me rephrase it. I think you're on Al Qaeda's side.
Oh, okay. So now I'm an Al Qaeda. Okay.
Well, I think you're the Tokyo Rose of your day.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's nice of you to say so.
Well, it's just funny. You know, you're so worried about these prisoners. You know, the air conditioning was too cold. It was too hot one day. We make them look at pictures of naked women. You know, we intimidate them. What do they do when they catch one of us, a military or civilian? What do they do when they catch us, Guy?
Have we had very many prisoners during this war?
Yeah, exactly. They don't take prisoners. Where they
So you're saying that whatever they do to us, we ought to do to them?
No, I'm asking you, what do they do to us when they capture us? Do they turn up the air conditioning on us too much? What do they do to us, Guy?
What do you mean? What's your point?
What does Al-Qaeda do when they capture a civilian or a U.S. military or British or anyone?
They make life rough on them. They feed them. They don't put them in luxurious surroundings, that's for sure.
They don't cut their heads off?
How many of our soldiers have had their heads cut off?
Regardless, how many people have you heard about being beheaded?
How many of our soldiers have had their heads cut off? How many?
There's been citizens, which is even...
How many of our soldiers have had their heads cut off?
I don't know.
Okay, I didn't think you did, because I'm not aware of any.
Well, isn't cutting off a citizen's head even worse? They're a non-combatant.
You know, So you want to, two wrongs make a right, in other words.
No.
That's exactly where you're going with this. Two wrongs make a right. Do you want our flag of the United States of America to represent having a guy chained to a floor in a fetal position in Gitmo? Do you, want our flag to represent that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, my point is you are so worried about, you know, the air conditioning being too cold on.
No, I'm not worried about them at all. I'm worried about us. I'm worried about our standards here in this country. That's what I'm worried about.
I never hear you outraged that they just beheaded some British citizen or U.S. citizen.
Of course I'm outraged by that.
I've never heard it. I listen to you every time.
Well, you should listen a little closer. I'm outraged by that all the time, but I just don't think we need to join them. This is not a barbaric country. We do not need to act like barbarians. And,
I agree 100%.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call. Hey, right now we're going to get the orchestra warmed. I don't know what that's about. We're going to get the orchestra warmed up a little bit now for a few minutes of Republican love. All right? We get letters every week, and this first one is most unusual. Most unusual for Republican love. It actually is Republican love. I mean, I'm serious. It really is. Dear Mr. James, I listen to your program most of the time, but have never written to you before. I'm a Republican, as is my entire family. I voted for George Bush the first time and sat out the last election because of the doubt you caused me to have about him. When I first started listening to your program a couple of years ago, I just couldn't believe that you had the nerve to say some of the negative things you said about George Bush. You often made me mad, and I'd turn off your program, but inevitably I'd switch the radio back on to your station to hear what you had to say. There was just something compelling in your voice and in your passion for what you were doing that made me want to hear more. Like your other Republican callers and listeners, I didn't believe a word you had to say, but one day I decided to take your advice and check out some things you had said about Bush to see if they were true or not. My research paid off, but not in the way I expected. You were right. I thought you were either careless or lying about President Bush, but I found out that you were right. I then started checking out almost everything you said for a few weeks and found no errors at all. I was astounded that your information was 100% accurate. This caused me to re-examine my views regarding President Bush. I found that I could not in good conscience vote for him again, nor could I support hardly any of his programs because, just like you said, his programs and policies were never good for America, just good for a select few. Don't get overly confident about this letter. I am still a Republican and will probably remain so for the rest of my life because I'm very conservative. I do find, however, that President Bush and his administration are not Republicans, just like you always say. I thank you for pointing that out and proving it to me over and over again. I'm going to work hard to bring back the real Republican Party to power. But anyway, thanks for your program, and most of all, thanks for being honest and accurate, which is far more than I can say for the rest of the talk radio world. Sincerely, Sarah. Well, that really was Republican love, don't you think? I feel warm and fuzzy. Thank you, Sarah. All right, the next letter, a little change of pace, as you might expect. Mr. Jackass, I heard you last week, and everything you said was wrong, and all you did was argue with people. You didn't prove a thing, which shows your stupidity and ignorance about everything. Stupidity and ignorance both spelled wrong. You sometimes go for weeks and don't tell the truth even once. You made fun of Rush Limbaugh. Well, that's a laugh, because he has a mansion in Palm Beach and lives in luxury. Do you have a mansion in Palm Beach and smoke $50 cigars? Well, no, actually, I don't, and I don't have a major illegal drug habit either. I'd rather be clean and healthy and true to my beliefs than I would be a hopeless drug addict who resorts to buying illegal prescription medicine in the parking lots of Shoney's or Denny's or whichever restaurant it was, and then saying on the air that drug abusers should be locked up and the key thrown away. A little hypocritical, don't you think? I'd rather be a man who stands up for what he believes for no money at all than to be a rich, pompous, serial liar like Rush Limbaugh. I wouldn't trade places with him for all of his money and his fame, because I know I believe what I believe in and what I do, instead of get paid to whore for any political party for money. So B. Rush? No, I don't think so. Here's a letter here from Dean from Matt Lachey, Florida. Nice little fishing village over here between here and Pine Island. Lovely little place. Guy James, you have a lot of nerve pretending to be a radio host. Pretending? You don't know jack about anything. I hope Wink WNOG fires you soon, and I and many of my friends will keep the pressure on until they do get rid of you and your sorry-ass program. It's too bad you weren't born in Russia or Nazi Germany, because you are certainly a communist or a Nazi or both. You're probably gay, too, because that's what you sound like with your feminine voice and style. That really does give me the fuzzies, the warm fuzzies there. Isn't that nice? Oh. A Nazi and a commie. I guess they don't know about those two being all in one. Okay. Here's another one here. This one's from Alvin. Well, 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 Mr. Demo Rat himself is still on the air. I wrote and called all of your sponsors and the management of your station. I won't sit by and allow a lying demon rat like you to keep spewing your filthy lies week after week. You must be stopped, and take this warning, pal. You will be stopped, and soon, too. You think we're kidding? Just you keep making fun of President Bush and see what happens to your show. He is the greatest president in the history, and everyone seems to know it except your sorry ass. He will be the hero of the Iraqi people, and you will look like the fool that you are. Alvin. Well, Alvin, thank you for your sentiments on that, and thank you for your letter, and thank you so much for making another edition of Republican Love a success. People love to hear the Republican Love. They most, oh, wait a minute. Is that the last? Yeah, that's the last one. All right. I do want to thank the orchestra. They did another fine job tonight. We're going to go over and talk to Juan in Fort Myers. Hi, Juan.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay. I can hardly hear you. sounds like those Republicans, most of them, except for the first one, maybe that those people are under-medicated.
Yeah.
I just called because of the, I agree with you. I think the main reason that George Bush went to war was because of the Israeli government. Sharon came to the White House several times, three or four times, I think between September and May, I guess, whenever the war started that year, and he never done that before.
Right.
So he was there all the time. So I believe that that's probably the primary reason. The other thing I was calling about is the Fox people, that station keeps advertising that they report, and we decide they don't report. They spin the stuff and then trying to convince us of something. So they're not fair and balanced like they say they are, and that's my opinion. As far as the you were saying that the Republicans are radio talk hosts are popular, and that's where the stations want. That's because it makes the money. But what happens to the other 50% of us that are Democrats? Don't we count? Mm-hmm. I go out of my way to listen to a Miami radio station. It's very staticky. Just so I don't listen to the local garbage, which is usually lies, Rush Limbaugh telling lies in there, or spinning things, leaving things out, and usually the truth. And I even miss out on the local road reports, traffic. Yes, so I don't have to listen to this, I forget some of the names that that lady they have in the morning. I don't even think she's Ingram, Laura Ingram. She's idiotic. But anyway, so if we have 50% of the population that it is Democratic, and the gentleman just called earlier said that most people are, against the Social Security, against the, and for more of a socialized health care, and if they're with us, why aren't we getting the radio station? I'm not convinced that their popularity means that is the same thing as our unpopularity. That I don't believe.
I think you're right, and I think they've got a foothold, and they know it, and I think they're afraid to try anything else. I think you know, liberal radio can make it. It's become popular in some areas in the country, and I think it can make it a lot of different places. Because after all, there again, like you said, half of the constituency around here, the voters are just forgotten about and just sloughed off as if we don't even exist.
Exactly, and there's a lot of us, and there, you know, it's a large number. So the, you know, you know, that's fine that they're popular, and have no problem with that. You know, but they cannot claim to tell the truth, and they cannot claim that we're not popular because 50% of the people usually vote Democrat.
That's right. That's right. Juan, thanks so much for your call, and hey, I do want to thank you for your contribution to the show.
Oh yes. Yes.
Thank you so very, very much.
Okay.
We will use the money wisely. Hey, right now, let's go over and talk to Connie in Cape Coral. Hi, Connie.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good.
I just wanted to say that I'm just a little up in arms that I have to listen to a disclaimer from the station saying that these views are not theirs. And I'd never hear that being played when they put Rush and Hannity on.
Well,
and
you know the
really
answer to that.
Me.
You know the answer to that.
Yeah, I know the answer. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to say is that I read just this morning on a page in an internet about mind control, and it said, made mention that people with left and right brain hemispheres that don't really talk to each other very well, left and right are not really in good integration, are people who are more easily misled. And I think that may be the bulk of the problem.
Very astute observation, I must say.
But I just want to thank you for being on the air, and anything I can do to support you, I just want to let you know I'm 250% behind you. So.
Well, thank you so much, Connie.
Have a good evening.
Good to have you in our corner.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read a story that was sent to me. And this is a story by an American soldier. This is an eyewitness account and a quote from an American soldier. And I'll read this to you because I think this is indicative of things that are going on in Iraq. And I also think this is very indicative of some severe problems that some of our soldiers are going to have when they come home, and they're going to have to deal with them for the rest of their lives. But who in this administration gives a damn? And I quote, "We were out of breath when we got to the gun truck nearest to the black civilian truck. There were four Iraqis walking towards us from the black truck. They were carrying a body, a small boy, no more than 3 years old. His head was cocked at the wrong angle, and there was blood, so much blood. The Iraqi men were crying and asking me why." Remember, this is written from an American soldier. "Someone behind me started screaming for a medic. It was the young soldier who had fired. He screamed for a medic until he was hoarse. The medic came just to tell us what we already knew. The little boy was dead. I stood there looking at that little child, someone's child just like mine, and seeing how red the clean white shirt of the man holding the boy was turning. Then I realized I was speaking to them, speaking in a voice that sounded so very far away. I heard my voice telling them how sorry we were. My mouth was saying this, but all my mind could focus on was the hole in the child's head. The white shirt covered in bright red blood. I couldn't stop looking, even as I kept telling them how sorry we were. I can still see it all to this day. There were no weapons found, and we accomplished nothing besides killing a child. I stayed as long as I could, talking to the man holding the child. I couldn't leave because I needed to know who they were. I wanted to remember. The man was the child's uncle, minding him for his father who had gone to the market. They were carpenters. And what the soldier who had fired on the truck had seen was one of the Iraqi men standing in the truck bed, holding a piece of wood. Before I left, I saw the young soldier who had killed the boy. His eyes were unfocused, and he was just standing there, staring off into the distance. My hand went to my canteen, and I took a drink of water. That soldier looked so lost, so I offered him a drink. And in a hoarse voice, quietly, he thanked me. Later that day, we were filling out reports about what we had witnessed. The captain who had led the raid was angry. "Well, this is just great," he said. "Now we have to go give that family bags of money to shut them up." A family had just lost their beautiful baby boy, and this man is worried about having to pay for a family's grief and sorrow. To this day, I think about that raid, that family, that boy. I wonder if they're attacking us now. I would be. If someone took the life of my son or my daughter, nothing other than my own death would stop me from killing him. I still cry when the memory hits me. And I cry when I think of how very far away I am from my family. I'm not there, just like the boy's father was there, or wasn't there. I have served my time. I have my nightmares. I have enough blood on my hands. Just let me be a father, a husband, and a daddy again. This from a former soldier in Iraq, an American soldier. We have been subjecting our young and men, our young men and women, our most precious treasure this country has to offer. We have subjected them to this kind of carnage now for a couple of years. And it was wrong. It was wrong from the very beginning. There was never anything right about it. Nothing. We now know that all of this was started on the basis of a lie. A terrible, dreadful, intentional lie. We know that this administration set out to do this behind the backs of the American public. We believe we know why they did it behind the backs of the American public, because they knew that the American public, being the good and decent nation that this is, would not stand for this. Wouldn't stand for it if they knew the truth. And so they couldn't tell the truth to gain their objective. They had to lie. And they lied skillfully. And they lied often. And they lied without remorse. We've seen no remorse from these people in power. None at all. Stay the course. Stay the course. That's what we hear. I had a tape I was going to play tonight. And I'm not sure I'm going to... was going to end the program with it. But I think I will. I think I'll end the program up with this tape. I think it'll last until the end of the program. And I want you to think about what you're going to hear tonight, hear on this. I want those of you who went along with this war, I want you to listen to what's said on this. This is Guy James, and we'll be with you next week, and I'm going to leave you with this.
Saddam Hussein has got weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein is a threat to America.
We're taking every action we can to prevent the Iraqi regime from using its hidden weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
The world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein recently sought significant quantities of uranium from Africa.
We just discovered undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq. The United States will lead a coalition of the willing to disarm the Iraqi regime of weapons of mass destruction. Saddam Hussein must disarm himself of all weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming. He is a danger to the world.
We know what a disarmed country looks like. And Iraq is doesn't look like that.
Every statement I make today is backed up by sources, solid sources. These are not assertions. What we're giving you are facts and conclusions based on solid intelligence.
This is a war to go after one regime led by Saddam Hussein that possesses weapons of mass destruction that can take the lives of millions.
There can be no doubt that Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more. Many more.
We're resting our case on the fact that Saddam Hussein has developed weapons of mass destruction, has them in his possession.
And he has the ability to dispense these lethal poisons and diseases in ways that can cause massive death and destruction.
The real threat to peace is Saddam Hussein and his possession of weapons of mass destruction.
Most of the launchers and warheads have been hidden in large groves of palm trees.
There's a smoking gun, and it involves weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. That is what this war was about and is about.
This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. The answer is bring them on. The answer is bring them on. Bring them on. Bring them on. And in order to, you know, placate the critics and the cynics about intentions of the United States, we need to produce evidence.
Hey, give me a cue when it's ending.
This opens the door to the possibility that you may be proved wrong about the threats from weapons, Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Do you agree, and does it matter whether or not you
can ask the Prime Minister, we won't be proven wrong. I believe that we will find the truth, and the truth is he's developing a program for weapons of mass destruction now. But we will bring the weapons, and of course we will bring information forward on the weapons when they find them.
Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer Gene Charles. Research director Michael Merrick. Production manager Frank Princeton. Marketing director Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Another day gone.
Mr. President, you missed the first two in this category. Do you want to switch to something else?
No. Hit me again, this time for $3 trillion.
The answer is how one political party with a very narrow base can provide incentives to its clients in the military contracting, energy, drug, and other industries and get a huge financial advantage over the other party.
Gee, I don't know. What is the space travel to Mars?
No. The question was, what are tax cuts? What are tax cuts?
Oh, tax cuts can't be the answer to everything.
Mr. President, you are right. Tax cuts can...